Hey, what's poppin'? It's another very normal feeling post-Lions game in 2020 when things don't feel very normal. Oh my God, the Lions fall to 0-2, and they lost their 11th game in a row.
Yeah, that's the astonishing thing. I didn't even realize that.
I forgot, too. I would venture to say there are probably very few third-year coaches that have a continuing 11-game losing streak in their third year.
Yeah, I think that's very fair to say.
Because how many second-year coaches could lose the last 9 games and people go, "Oh, yeah, just Matt Stafford. Not your fault."
I don't even know what to say about him anymore, man.
Well, here's what some other people were saying. Woj tweeted out, at least I have the first paragraph done, "Same old Lions." Ryan Ermani had tweeted before the game, "Forget last week. Let's go! Hashtag Lions." And then at the end of the game, he tweeted, "This didn't age well," above the tweet. And Terry Foster said, "Last year's 3-4-1 start may be the highlight of the Matt Patricia era."
Oh, well, there's a lot of truth to that, really.
I think you might be right. Wow, it was bad. 42-21. My biggest issue is their defense just sucks. It is just so bad. It has been so bad all 3 years this defensive guru has been here. I mean, it's just brutal.
I'll give him a little bit of break for having two really good corners out. That being said, that would probably have saved him, 7 points?
I don't know, that new corner, that high draft pick,
Okuda?
Not farewell against Davante Adams.
Yes, it was a welcome to the NFL day for Jeff Okuda.
Would we expect him to do much more than what he did against Davante Adams?
Maybe not.
I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
I mean, if you're the third pick in the entire draft, I mean, I have to say, when they picked a cornerback third in the NFL draft, I was kind of... Really, for all the things they need?
Hey, don't question the defensive guru.
What? By the way, their draft picks aren't looking so good. I saw that Jared Davis, who was a first-round pick.
Disaster.
He's not even playing every down now. He's like a role player.
He's not good. That's why.
And wasn't the second-round guy his year? Isn't he already cut?
Probably.
Jared Davis's?
Probably.
I think he went to Florida, too.
Oh, Tease Tabor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's long gone.
Who cares?
Long gone.
But Hawk looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we could go through the draft someday. I won't bother today. I just saw the Jared Davis story. He did have a nice play in the game, but...
Yeah, one. Yeah.
He's not the...
And then he decided to take the rest of the day off after that.
Well, the Packers had almost 500 yards. Rodgers, I didn't feel like he worked hard. It just seems so easy.
It always seems so easy for Aaron Rodgers.
And as far as the Lions, Matt Stafford, that's 2 weeks in a row. He's really made a gigantic mistake.
A couple gigantic mistakes, but I'm sure you're talking about the interceptions.
Well, the pick six.
Yeah.
Did he have a second interception in this game?
No, I mean the interception from last week and then the interception this week, but then he had the air at the end of the first half this week, which really changed.
We call him young Tom Brady.
Changed everything.
He was sacked on the 1 yard line, which gave the Packers the ball back, which honestly, when they got the ball, the only thing I was thinking is just don't give the Packers a good opportunity.
Green Bay Packers. You like the Packers?
Because they're going to get the ball to start the second half, too, and Rodgers will just roll down there, which is exactly what he did. Stafford was sacked twice on the 1 yard line. He also got an intentional grounding call. His numbers are probably not bad.
No, they never are that bad. That's the problem. It's just like any other quarterback.
Suck!
And I already know Matt Patricia. He's so arrogant. I'm sure he said,
"We just have to coach better, and we just have to get better." It's all the same.
I really want him out of here. I would just get rid of him now and just start on another track. Because this track is a bad loser track. It's just
I think we're going to see a lot of new coaches, man. I think we're going to see a new football coach for the Lions. I think we're going to see, obviously, a new baseball coach for the Tigers. Maybe even the Red Wings, a new coach down the line here pretty soon.
Cool.
Don Kelly is being named, by the way.
He's a Tiger. Oh, man, you must be pumped.
I am pumped. I love Don Kelly.
I know you do.
And your doppelganger, A.J. Hinch.
A.J. Hinch, that'd be a good pick.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the Tigers. I have to say, ever since I've seen, is it Klubal? Klubal, the rookie.
Yeah.
He looks terrible. Really good to me. Skubal. And I think Mize, I know his numbers are terrible, but I'm excited about him. And Norris is pitching well. And
how many games are left in the season?
I have no idea, Mark, because I don't even know how many games there are, and it's so skewed out of...
Major League Baseball just go, the season's done now. We don't know.
It's pretty close. It's almost
make it up. They make up everything else as they go along.
We'll just mention, just because, that Mickey hit number 485 today. I think they lost to Cleveland, but, I mean, you know, it's something.
It is something.
So he's 15 shy of...
And here's the 2-2 pitch. Oh, it's a big swing. It's up. It's out. And it's not a sports podcast.
No, it's not.
Were you surprised to see Gardenhire step down?
Yeah, that was too bad. I mean, obviously, it's something none of us could have expected. He was having tremors, and he had some food poisoning, and he's thinking about his grandkids and his kids, and I think that's good. He's such a good guy. Everybody loves this guy.
The sad thing is, doesn't he go down as the losingest coach in Tigers history?
I think he's pretty close, if not.
Which he's a good manager. That just sucks.
He is. Well, look what they gave him.
No, I know. Actually, it probably would have been worse.
Yeah, I guess it could have been. It could have been a little bit worse. Not a whole lot worse, but a little bit worse.
Are they still in the race for the playoffs?
I don't think so.
Okay. I have no idea.
Let's see. There's something else I want to mention. Oh, the Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, didn't that seem like the Falcons were the Lions?
Yes, very much so.
It really did.
And I want to know how many.
I want me some glory hole.
I want to know how many people in America knew that the Falcons had an Asian kicker.
Oh, I had no idea. I didn't know until you just said that.
Although they showed him right before the onside kick because they're making this big to-do about how, hey, if they could trade the kicker, blah, 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 which isn't a thing, so I don't know why they were talking about it.
So that was an Asian thing, that onside kick? Because that was the weirdest kick I've ever seen.
No, he didn't. He wasn't the one that
kicked. Something he brought
it.
From Asia?
He wasn't the one that kicked it. I don't know why the announcers were talking about, too bad they don't have that guy, because I guess he's made his last three onside kicks. But yeah, the onside
kick. What? The Asian guy had made three in a row?
Yeah.
Really?
I know. They should always onside kick, right?
The Lions need an Asian kicker. Think of all the extra possessions they'll get.
Why not? Maybe they need an Asian coach, too.
It's worth a try.
Why not? Anything else works.
Oh, boy. Holy fook.
But that onside kick was just ridiculous. They set the ball flat, and he barely put any power into it, and it rolled 1 yard. Rolled 2 yards, 3, 4. It was the slowest onside kick in the world.
Why were the Falcons not following it as carefully as the one Cowboy guy?
My guess is they were sitting there going, that is the weirdest onside kick. What is going on right
Probably,
now?
Probably, yeah.
Am I allowed to touch this? This doesn't seem legal.
If they were to say that, I would appreciate that.
I kind of feel like
seem
that
honest.
Was going through their heads, man.
Oh, yeah. He breaks another tackle. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. It's not a sports podcast.
I know.
There's just so much to talk about, though.
There's a lot of sports in there. It was sporgy.
We'll come back to sports later instead of just blowing it all out at once and making it sound like a sports podcast, which it's not. We'll come back some things later that are sort of sports, sort of not sports. I did watch the Lakers game on Friday night, and I don't know how anybody's going to beat them.
No, I don't either. And then LeBron's whining about not being the MVP when he didn't even have MVP-type stats. I don't know why he's whining about it.
Psych!
He wasn't even the MVP of his team.
Is anyone going to like LeBron James in another couple years? Because he is heading down a track. I swear, he is so annoying to me. And
he's incredibly annoying.
This thing about Lori Loughlin, too. He's did you see that?
Oh, about her picking her.
Yeah, about her picking
exactly
a prison.
What he said, yeah.
Oh, it was. Let me find it because it was really. Hold on, I'll do this first. Since 2017, this is a new advertiser, and I'm serious about this. I think this could be a really good thing. The Hope Not Handcuffs program has helped 4,600 people get the help and resources they may not have gotten otherwise. If you are struggling, or you know someone struggling with a substance use disorder or addiction, whether it be heroin, painkillers, cocaine, alcohol, They can go to one of 100 participating police locations, and that's just about every police station, isn't it? Really? Yeah,
there's a whole list on their website, too, of which ones are participating.
Okay.
86 agencies in Michigan.
Do we have the website? Because I don't see it on here.
Yeah, it's hopenothandcuffs.com. Oh, I believe it's .com. Maybe it's a word. But you can link it right off of our website.
What happens is, and again, just about every police location is doing this. The police officer, if you turn yourself in, I mean, that's the wrong term to use. A police officer will treat them with compassion and call a volunteer angel that will come to the police department and assist with paperwork and making phone calls to get them placed into treatment. So the idea is that you're not doing anything wrong. You're there to get help. Mm-hmm. And this has been very successful, and I hope this message reached someone, or two people, or 10 people, or 100 people. The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. There is hope. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more and make the step toward recovery. We were talking about somebody, I'm not going to say exactly who, but someone, and them needing to get help. And there's other assorted problems, which usually is the case.
Yeah.
Somebody when they're in the middle of an addiction.
The guy I know.
Yeah, it was a guy I know. And eventually it just came down to, well, if they get rid of that problem, the other problems will seem so much smaller and they'll seem so much more defeatable, but everything just seems impossible in the way of, you know, this other giant, overwhelming thing. So
yeah, there's a big fear to get the police involved because a lot of times they have little misdemeanors or warrants, and they don't want to, be arrested for that. So you just go in and...
That's not what they're doing.
No.
They're not looking to get people to come in on warrants. This is not like one of those, you know, big prize things for convicts that are on the loose. It's not like that.
Oh, yeah.
This is real. Really trying to help people, so I hope it's more successful. It already is successful. I hope it's more successful.
And they're also looking for volunteers to help out too.
Well, so I'm sure a lot of people.
That's great, no, it's a huge,
some help.
We don't treat addiction the way we should in this country.
Oh, this is a good step, though.
Yep.
As we step into fall, the team at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep Celebration event, and as you can imagine, it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered. Starting with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk? Four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, go lease the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. And pure performance, poured into an SUV that drives like a sports car. That's what that is.
Car.
Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4. Or you can lease the new 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And you know the game, no Zot spot is complete without telling you about the Jeep Wrangler. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. So get details, surf the massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And let me see if I can find LeBron thing, which I just thought was... Oh, and his kid was smoking dope on Instagram.
I mean, his kid is 15, which is
not the best
idea.
He's 15 years old. He was taking a hit off a blunt on, I believe it was... either TikTok or Snapchat, one of those two. And I think what happened was he accidentally sent it to everybody instead of sending it just to his buddies.
Well, and don't tell me that was the first time he hit a doobie either, because he hit that thing hard and there was no coughing.
Maybe he was practicing with candy cigarettes or something. You don't know that, Drew.
Well, maybe if his father wasn't so absent in his life because he's busy playing basketball.
In a bubble.
I could swear I've seen that. That shot before, and it sure looked like he was tugging hard on it. Was kind of like, remember when Marion Barry said, "I never smoked crack, it was the first time," and then you see him hitting on that crack pipe, and he is wailing on that thing.
I just love that it gives everybody the opportunity to just shit on LeBron.
Well, you know, with a 15-year-old,
he shouldn't be doing it.
But people
crack
have,
is whack.
People have no sense of fairness anymore, so it's just like, I don't like him, so look at that fucking 15-year-old.
That's what I mean.
It's just terrible.
Yeah.
But, and Bronny's going to be successful. He's already a fantastic basketball player. He will follow in his father's footsteps. He's already
and go to Michigan.
Lauded,
oh,
so
wait,
maybe.
Well, LeBron. I mean, he just has nothing to do, I guess, because he's upset about Lori Loughlin and her sentencing, and she's asked for a specific prison. So he tweets out. He tweets the article out and says, "I'm laughing because sometimes you have to just to stop from crying. Don't." Make no damn sense to me. We just want the same treatment if committed of the same crime. That's all. He doesn't realize that this is not something that would happen to an average
psych
person. This is a celebrity privilege, a wealth privilege.
A rich wealth, yeah.
I mean, Lori Loughlin has got him so upset he wants to cry.
Well,
really?
I don't believe him, but yeah. If you
I don't
him.
Either. I just
LeBron
don't
know. James, LeBron I mean, James.
He really
LeBron James.
He seems like he's got a problem to me. I mean, it seems like he is really just. First of all.
When's he going to move to China, by the way?
Well, he loves China so much, I'm surprised
he
hasn't.
Let's marry it.
Apparently, he has no clue that he was born with gifts that very few people have. He didn't make LeBron James. I'm sure he's a hardworking guy. Well, we know he's a hardworking guy. I mean, I respect him for what he does, but does he really believe that he has been shortchanged so badly by God?
No.
Because he's got speed, size, power, and coordination that almost no one has. He has athletic privilege. He does.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that a fair statement?
Sure.
He has huge athletic privilege.
He busts his ass, but yeah.
He does.
Are you born with that talent, or can you learn it, or sort of both, right?
I mean, he thinks he did it all. He thinks he did it. He ended his tweet by saying, strong, black, and powerful. So
hey, he's probably the highest profile person who can talk on those matters, I suppose. So and
I just feel like he's on a misguided path right now because, you know, honestly, for him to take the time to get so upset about Lori Loughlin and he's absolutely crickets with this guy called him out to donate money about the shooting of these two cops, which was a total ambush, and he doesn't even say anything. I mean, I think he could say almost anything, and it would be a real positive if he said, hey, look, nobody tells me how to spend my money, but I'm praying for these people, or anything. Anything would be better than that. Yeah. So it's like he doesn't give a fuck.
That's a busy weekend for him, and it really is. The Lakers do great. He's still, you know, he's still working towards that next championship. He's upset about the All-Star, the MVP voting. Bronny's token up. He's mad at Aunt Becky, and he released this song.
China, China. China history.
Wow, I had not heard that song. What was that a parody of? I feel like I'm just completely spacing out.
Well, I think it's a parody of anything.
That was when South Park mocked the NBA and China.
Oh, okay. It sounded like another song, though. Like China was replacing something else? No? okay, so...
China!
There are more sports to talk about. And the Lakers did take care of... That was an easy win Friday night. So, and they play Sunday night. So we'll have.
Who are you pulling in that series? You want the Lakers or do you want the Denver NBA team?
I have to say, I think I just hate LeBron again. Because I remember when I used to hate him, Maz and I hated him.
Yeah.
And you liked him. And I just always rooted against him.
I like him on the court. I don't really care to hear from him off the court.
He was always in the finals. I was still pissed about the whole, we're not going to win one championship, two championships. You know, taking my talents to Miami. I hate him for that. I got over all that.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
Although now that I think about it, because you know, I won't refer to the nickname of that Denver team because it gets people in trouble. I don't think we can refer to the Lakers anymore because they got that one lady. Although she didn't lose her job, so she's fine. I guess
I ain't playing. Lakers. You about to, which lady?
The one on MSNBC when Kobe died. And she was combining the Knicks with the Lakers.
That's right. Yeah. And nobody cared.
Oh, apparently.
Because it was a woman, I guess.
Like the kind of star that was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Kavita, if I could ask you to stay with us.
Whoops. I mean, that just shows that weird stuff happens sometimes. Unless you really believe that she had it in her heart. She was looking, I'm going out in a pile of glory.
Of course.
Pile of racist glory. But for some reason, you know, the Charlotte guy, did we ever discuss that he's gone?
He's gone, yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, they fired him. I don't pretty think we stupid. Ever mentioned that on the air.
No, pretty dumb.
And why didn't people stand up for him in Charlotte? That's the part I really didn't understand.
You mean on the team?
Yeah,
I think because they weren't in the bubble. I wonder how many of them even know.
Charlotte.
I would think they would know about that.
Also, isn't he new? Wasn't he new? So how many had an actual relationship with him?
I really felt sorry for that guy.
He screwed up.
I mean,
I was just laughing at myself because I opened up. I've never seen this Twitter account before, but I opened up Twitter. Have you ever seen at Lions PR, their official PR Twitter page?
Detroit Lions?
Yes.
It's pretty funny. What kind of PR are they finding from this week?
With his touchdown pass today, Matthew Stafford has passed Hall of Famer Johnny Unitas for the most career touchdown passes against the Packers in NFL history. With 2 points scored today, Matt Prater has passed kicker Fred Cox for the 34th most points in NFL history. The Lions have produced touchdowns on their first two possessions of the Packers for the first time since 2012.
You know,
so it's all these accolades as they pass, and then it just goes silent after.
Green, 16, sat, hot.
Once the tide turned,
how many times has Matt Stafford beaten the Packers versus lost to the Packers?
Here's how many touchdowns he throws. Well,
that's my point. I don't think he's won. Maybe he's won a third of the games because he probably wins at home maybe half the time.
I don't know.
And then on the road, rarely. All right, I guess I can't. You know what? I might as well just stack Matt Stafford in here right now. So let me. His statement on Friday about we can't stick to football, which, you know, honestly, I wish people could just go, well, you know, his heart's in the right place and just let it go. But of course, they can't. I don't know if you guys saw
Are people shitting on him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, people are either declaring him an angel, you know, or they are angry at him. And then there's the people who are like, you can't win a fucking football game. Why don't you get your mind on football? And I'm sure, I think it'll get worse tomorrow if that thing is still alive. Brandon, did you see much on it? You crawl around on social media.
You know, I didn't see, not really. I saw it shared often, but I didn't see a lot of really extreme opinions on the story from the Players Tribune.
Well, I'm glad there weren't. Because I just went on Facebook and I saw a few people had posted it. This is my feed. There's 5,000 people in my feed, so I don't really remember who they were or what their what their gender was. But it immediately starts this horrific argument, and it gets into, you know, Breonna Taylor, was she a drug dealer? You know, I mean, every little thing starts getting fleshed out, and people who are talking out of their ass, because everyone has a voice, of course, and no one can just shut up. So it just becomes this really ugly thing. But we haven't even read the post yet or talked about it, so let me just do this.
I was going to say, my first thought when I saw his article, and what's it called again, the Players Tribune, is the same thought I have every time I see a thing in the Players Tribune is, I wonder who wrote that for him. Because this reads very similar to, say, one of his best friend Mitch Albom's columns, in a way. Not to say it's not genuine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You have a conspiracy theory that Mitch wrote this?
He might have helped. No, I don't know.
I watched The Social Dilemma over the weekend.
Oh, God.
Which is about, it's an hour 45 on social media and what social media is doing. And I couldn't help, as I was reading all these people going back and forth about Matt Stafford, think, well, this is like made to order for what they were describing on The Social Dilemma, which is essentially that the tech companies really, their only goal is to keep us spending more time. Mm-hmm. They don't care how. They don't care if it's arguing, which is what it usually is. They
don't
care
you
if
love social media?
It's with you know, conspiracy theories and false information, which tends to trend higher than things that are real and quantifiable. Yep. It's just, and we know this. I know you said you got bored by it because we know all this stuff.
Oh, by the documentary, yeah.
But
I just
seeing,
didn't find it to be much, yeah.
When you see people who are in the business, because these were a lot of Google employees, former Google employees and Facebook employees, and they're describing how, yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They're just trying to manipulate you into spending time, and they don't care about anything else. And as you start liking more racist things or, you know, whatever it might be on your device, those things start coming to you more. So they start verifying your ugly feelings, or maybe it's something completely different. Maybe it's just something fake.
Yep.
Anyway, I thought it was good. You know, if you're not if you're not that deep into social media, it's something I think people need to understand, especially if you have kids.
Social media and Twitter is what's destroying this country anyway.
But we'll get to Matt Stafford's statement in just a second. The Royal Oak Downtown Development Authority is, they're going to be hosting another contest,
hey,
which I think people are going to like, because you can win $1,000 in Royal Oak Bucks. And that program has been so successful. Meanwhile, the Royal Oak Bucks are still spending over the weekend. It was sunny at least, so people were out and about. They were at the restaurants. They were unique knits. They were made in the mitten. They were eating ice cream and having tea and all those things you could do in downtown Royal Oak. So spend your Royal Oak Bucks. You've probably got between 25 and 35 days left.
Depending How big on is your city?
When you got your Bucks. So keep an eye on that. And then remember that Lyft is available Thursday, Friday, 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. Go to RO. GO2RO is the code. You can get $10 off going in and going home. And there's going to be some parking data, too. So there you go. Hall Financial sponsors our hotline. They want you to know that mortgage rates are at an all-time low. That's why so many people are refinancing right now. Lower those monthly payments. Put money in your pocket. Anybody on the Hall Financial hotline we might want to jingle up?
So there's a number for the guy. Seems like the guy that jumped the
drawbridge guy?
The drawbridge.
Oh.
Lives with some other dude.
Well, I needed somebody to egg him on.
This is a good idea. Fuck yeah, it is. So that's a number for him. And then
awesome.
There's another number for Ronald Miscavige, who's been popping off lately about the Church of Scientology. And I called him. And
David's father.
Yeah, and the guy that answered, I'm pretty confident it's him. I don't know if he'll talk, but I'm pretty confident it's him.
He does talk. He's
got a book. He's got a book to promote. That's why, which is funny about the article. He's bitching about how Scientology is following him and trying to take him down as he's publishing a book. So,
well, but what they do is not.
I know.
In any world. They are just outrageous. I just can't believe it continues.
Do you think it would be as bad if he wasn't publishing a book right now?
Well, it was bad when he just left. I mean, for anybody to leave the Church of Scientology, it is bad. They will follow you around with private detectives, and
this guy's got a lot of information on that, too. I mean, if you're the father of David Miscavige, and that guy is a cult leader to the fullest, imagine what we're going to learn about him in the next 20 years. I'm telling you, there's crazy shit going on right now with that dude.
Yeah, and Danny Masterson, I noticed, has Tom Mesereau defending him against these three rape charges, which they have delayed for years and years and years with Scientology money, which is so disgusting. And Tom Mesereau is one of these lawyers that just doesn't lose. He does lose, but, I mean, he generally doesn't lose. He won for Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson slept in the same bed with a 12-year-old for 364 straight days. And somehow Tom Mesereau made it all okay. That's interesting. I really want to talk to the Jawbridge jumper guy. What was he
exciting?
Thinking? We don't think he was buzzed, was he?
Oh, yeah.
He was buzzed?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was huffing some something.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure that they found some aerosol or...
Was it Whippets?
Maybe it was Whippets.
I think it was Whippets.
Hey, maybe it was like our girl.
I'm walking on sunshine.
I think
maybe this is what he was playing in the car as he was jumping that drawbridge. Yeah, a lot of songs today.
I like when Katrina uses that girl. I think it's so cool.
It's like I'm walking on sunshine.
Oh, it's time to feel good. That is an amazing addition.
I need to take control of that computer real quick. Hang on. Your volume's all the way down.
I wish I had a father.
There you go.
Low rates mean value. That's why Hall Financial wants you to know if you're on the market for that home. Remember, Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. Averages 19 days, and we urge you not to bring their average down. Please, be organized. Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. You start saving money sooner. And virtual appraisals can be done without someone setting foot inside your home. So make money by saving money at Hall Financial, 248-308-5000, or go to davidhallmortgage.com/joinmike. You can click the link on our website, fill out the form, and they'll get back to you, but fast. NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial. The Matt Stafford statement was headlined, "We can't just stick to football." And it's another one of those where I feel like someone is saying, sort of like Kirk Herbstreit, "I just found out that there's racism going on."
See? Yeah.
And
what? What are we talking about?
I always find that kind of strange, especially since he's played football for this long.
Which is probably why he never saw it, because he was surrounded by a lot of minorities.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, remember, wasn't it just a few years when the Kaepernick thing happened? Didn't Kelly come out against Kaepernick? And
I don't,
which is,
you know,
which is fine. I'm just saying. So there clearly has been some kind of evolution.
This is Kelly.
Yeah, I suppose so. And maybe it was that team meeting they had when they took practice off changed everything. But he tells his story in there. We should read a little bit of it. Do we have it?
Yeah, it's right here.
Okay.
Do you want it?
Yeah, I'll read a little bit of it.
It sounded like Trey Flowers is the one that opened his eyes to everything.
He tells this one story that I find to be really typical of this sort of story, where he's going to work out at this facility in Atlanta with Danny Amendola.
Mm-hmm. Past offseason, yep.
And they worked out, everything went great, and then he went back to that place with four African-American players. And some guy came in and said, you got to get out of here. And they were like, huh? What? And then he came and said he was calling the police. And so Matt Stafford just assumes, or he attributes this to this person's racist, being a racist. And all I could think of was, somebody doesn't know who Matt Stafford is. I mean, you see four guys that size working out, and you really think that it's some troublemakers?
All you got to do is watch him throw a terrible pass. Recognize him, right?
But it's like through this one event, you know, he realizes that there's something to this conversation, and it's very strange. Strikes me weird.
Now, are you saying that that's the kind of story that people would never check up on because who would lie about such a ridiculous thing? Because that's kind of the thing of Mitchell.
It would be nice if there were forensic accountants that were always working on these things.
I'll tell you I think
he's probably being sincere. I like Matt Stafford, generally speaking.
I do too. But
it's a very simplistic thing, and I don't think pro football players generally get thrown out of a lot of athletic facilities.
No, well, that's the other thing. Where was this at?
It was in Georgia.
No, but I mean, was it at?
He doesn't say.
Was it at? No.
That's why forensic accountant. But it reminded me of, you know, I just read this thing Michelle Obama put out that I found really, I was really annoyed. And honestly, I don't go and post stuff. I don't go, I got to tweet this. Look at what this bitch said. You know, I'm really trying to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably just dump it all from the show, too, because all I'm doing is making it worse by talking about it. But she, on her podcast, I mean, to make it even worse, tells a story about her brother when he was 10, was accused of stealing his own bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
And it was actually, there was someone who accused him of stealing their bicycle. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of the story. Forensic account would be nice. But the police, I guess they called the police. And so the police said, hey,
what kind of bike do you have?
Is that your bicycle, Michelle Obama's brother? And he said, yeah, it's mine. And I guess they didn't believe him. So they put it in the car and they drove to mommy's house. And mommy, of course, chewed out the police, who were both black.
Yeah.
Well, they're both black, but oh, wait, we can explain that. They're part of systemic racism, so they become racist when they become cops.
Dang, you got sharks, pigs.
I'm sorry, but you could not put me in an occupation that is going to make me act in a different, I mean, this is going to alter my personality. Someone being a racist is a pretty strong alteration from being not racist or being a victim of racism.
Couple things. Number one, that's not the best example for her to use. It's pretty ridiculous. But secondly, it's not about, doesn't mean that the cops are racist. It's just a lot of people feel that it's like an unconscious bias as to why
they're black. The cops are black.
I'm just saying the argument is that they feel that the training is what leads them to think. Now,
it could whatever, you know.
I'm just telling you what the argument is.
I don't want to argue with anybody about it. I just in my mind, when I saw this white girl telling this black police officer why he's a racist, it made my blood boil because it's
silly.
So fucking moronic.
Yeah.
But even that story, that wasn't the story that really got my attention in that piece. It was when she said she and Secret Service were in an ice cream parlor.
Yeah,
and
I don't believe this story
a white
either.
Woman cut in front of her. And she said that the white woman, that she was invisible to the white woman. And then she goes on to say that black people are invisible to white people, that she'd be walking her dog and white people would come up and pet the dog and they wouldn't even notice that she's Michelle Obama. And so she just declares that black people are invisible to white people. And I thought that was just the most, what a ridiculous generalization.
Those last two examples, presumably are after.
Ice cream.
after she was Michelle Obama?
She was the president's wife. She was with Secret Service at the ice cream shop.
I think those are typical interactions.
Well,
nice Secret Service.
It kind of suggests too that white people don't butt in front of white people. I mean, this is one thing that I notice in a lot of these stories, that they imply that white people are always nice to white people because we're part of this royalty where, you know, we all know we have white skin and we're all just so. There's a lot of fucked up white people out there who are shitbags to other white people. They don't need to have a racial bias to be shitty.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know. I mean,
do you think there's a camaraderie among white people to be nice to white people?
No, and I do think minorities get treated a little differently in general.
I didn't say that. I didn't say they weren't. I said this idea that all white people are so nice to each other is crazy. Because they're not. White people fuck over white people all the time.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of us out there.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Guess that's all the whites can hope for these days.
Matt Stafford, I'm trying to get through this quickly. There's some things that are way more important than football right now. Yes, this NFL season just kicked off. Nobody's more excited about that than me. But we can't just move on from the issue of racial injustice and use sports as a distraction. We can't just stick to football. Not as a team, not as an organization, and we shouldn't as a country. My proudest day as a Lion was the day of the Jacob Blake shooting. We cried, we debated, we shared stories, we were vulnerable, we were uncomfortable, we were angry, we were everything.
They cried?
That's what he said. We went through it as a team. As almost everyone knows, I haven't exactly embraced social media over the years. It's just not me, but I feel like it's right to take the time to say what's on my heart as we begin a new season together.
I will say that is one good thing about Stafford is we don't hear much from him. Yeah, a lot from Kelly, but not from him.
I'm not upset about this either. I'm not about to get just all bent out of shape like some of these people were. What's on my heart is that we all need to come together as a country and admit what we know is real. Deep down inside, no matter what political party we support or what we do for a living, we know what's real. Police brutality, white privilege, racism, it's all real. It's time we stop pretending or defending or just closing our eyes to what's right in front of us. We have to listen and we have to keep having these hard conversations.
We call him Young Tom Brady.
I just get this feeling of being bossed around when people are telling me I have to have conversations with people. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
I know he means well, and it doesn't upset me.
I don't think he's talking to us.
I think he's talking to anybody.
Really?
Any white people.
We have conversations every day.
Well, I don't think he's specifically talking to anybody, but, anyway, what was so upsetting about it was that it was getting posted, and then just, you know, I see like 500 comments. I'm like, 500 Yikes. Comments? Holy crap. So, of course, someone doesn't like what he said, and someone has to come in and call them a racist immediately. And then someone, you know, gets really, is brought to tears by what he's saying, and they are called a snowflake immediately. And it goes on and on and on. And it gets into Jacob Blake and what he did to his girlfriend. And what the cops should have done and what they shouldn't have done. I'm like, oh my God, how can this get so many people? But that's what social media kind of does.
Where was that? Is that just on Facebook?
It was on Facebook. Yeah. And I was stunned at how many comments there were. And you would think that they'd be, well, that's cool that Matt Stafford is, you know, trying to do something for the greater good or maybe just, I don't know. I don't know why people are so quick to get so angry about something.
I know. I didn't like this guy's comment.
Hey, it's the quarterback. The good-looking fucking piece of shit who sucks.
Oh, that was over the top. Cheap shot.
Anyway. I would say today's result did not help his point any at all.
But he passed Johnny Unitas for the most touchdowns against the Packers ever.
That's great. PR. So then,
it is interesting though that he just figured this out.
Well, it's yeah,
it's amazing. That's
exactly how I felt with Herb Street. It was like, wait a second, he's crying about this. I mean, it's like he just somehow was blind to all the unrest out there and all the people who are done wrong.
What are we talking about?
What? Come on,
what?
Be a man.
What
Kirk?
Are we talking about?
Oh, God, when people cry, I just get sick. People cry and I'm not expecting it, it just fucks me up.
Yeah, just like it did the crew of Game Day.
Oh, yeah, they were completely taken aback.
I don't know what to do with Herbie.
I saw this guy cry one time.
I think if the guys on Game Day, if you could have rewound him not crying, fired him, and then moved forward, they would have chosen that over having to sit there while he cried. It was really, it was.
Well, I mean, when you have Corso coming down on him, that's pretty rough.
Man up. Stop crying.
That was Corso right there. Actually, no, here was Corso's response when Herbie cried.
What kind of jerk is this guy?
What is Corso doing on that show?
Oh, it's honestly kind of sad.
Did you see when he put the Miami hat on?
No.
There's no one there. So right. It's just like, oh, he just put a hat on, and it's like dead silence, crickets.
I'm scared he's going to fall into the pool during one of those shows because the pool's right behind him.
I know. How do you decide when? It's like Dick Clark. Isn't it like Dick Clark? Is he going to have a stroke and be in there going,
I kind of think it is like Dick Clark, which, once again, why did Dick Clark keep doing those countdowns?
Just couldn't stop.
I swear to God, if Corso starts making out with his wife like Dick Clark did, might be the end of me watching game day. What if they just cut to us?
Now, you and I have been a part of each other's lives for so many New Year's Eves that I wouldn't have missed this for the world. Everybody who made it possible for me to be here tonight. Totally it's going to be a great night, full of fun, full of excitement, full of color, and just the happiest time in all of my life. Thank you once again for being with us and me with you.
See, somebody should have
stopped
him.
Why are you breathing so hard?
Someone should have told him. They all should have told him. They sat him down like sort of like an intervention.
Well, they tried cutting away in the booth, but Seacrest was behind that guy saying, "Don't you dare cut away. This is my big chance."
He could have been a guest with Seacrest hosting and occasionally make a comment. Yes. I mean, Dick Clark's a great guy. He's a good guy.
What if they cut to...
You said it, Dick.
What if they cut to Corso during game day and he's just nailing his wife or something? Because he's just totally unaware of what's going on.
Anything is possible.
Or he's beaten off.
He's less than 5'8". He's like 1/8".
He's just yelling at it. Barry Switzer style.
He's 84, isn't he?
I know. No, it's just awful. I feel bad for him. I don't want him to be on TV and for him to figure out when he's on and when he's off and when he can talk. It's really uncomfortable.
They must know, absolutely know, that if they suggest that, why don't we wrap it up this year, that he's going to go ballistic.
Well, his time is just getting cut every year.
Are they just hoping that he...
falls in the pool?
He dies.
I don't know.
What else can you hope for?
It's like he's a prop, and it's really sad.
Yeah, it's tough. And he can't fly to the event because he's old and compromised?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, ESPN was trying to make him fly commercial. Because they want him dead, and that was the joke. The joke is they want him to die.
Okay. I was like, wait, really? I actually believed it. Are we on Facebook?
Yeah, we have been.
Okay. Yeah. Brandon, do you have the... I think you sent it to me, so I know you have it. The audio of the UFC fighter that Trump called after the fight.
Oh, there's another awkward moment.
No, these are so awkward.
Awkward.
And Trump, you know, he loves to repeat himself.
Well, they don't have
just
much
for emphasis.
It's weird. They don't have much to say to each other.
No, except that they love each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this is big love fest, and it's like, well, I'm not. Nobody loves me in these two people. I'm not having much fun. I'm not having any fun.
This is Colby. Is it Covington? Is that his last name?
Yeah, Colby Covington. He's a welterweight, and he won by TKO last night.
It's not a sports podcast, by the way. This isn't really a sport.
And he beat a. A Black Lives Matter advocate, I guess, is the big thing.
He's wearing a Keep America
Great
hat.
Is that how they coined it?
Well, that's how it had been going back and forth leading up to the event. The one guy did a press conference where every answer he gave was Black Lives Matter. And here's the thing.
What?
They also have trained together in the past for years and years. I mean,
but now they're enemies?
Pretty much.
So why does Colby not like BLM?
It's almost like MMA is becoming wrestling in a way with the characters, which is good. It's good for them. It makes it entertaining.
And Colby has a problem with the BLM. I see. I don't know.
No, he's just no.
BLM
I don't know
either. But
I don't know if he has a problem with it. He's just a massive.
He's a Trump lover.
Trump supporter.
Yeah, he's wearing a Make America Great hat.
And he's been. He just saw the president at a rally, and the guy.
He went to a rally.
Yeah, he shook his hand.
Right before the fight.
Oh, that's right.
That was in the phone call.
Yeah. Well, was that set up, though, where, hey, come on over, President wants to shake your hand, or did he just, like, stand in line all day?
No. I'm like, God, I hope it was
set up. Well, Dana White, you know, he spoke at the RNC, so we assume that he probably pulled some strings and he got you know, you got those two to connect prior to the fight at a rally.
It is interesting too. The guy he beat, which I don't know his name. I can never keep these fighters straight. He's claiming that this is all for show, which I don't know. I mean, if it's all for show or not, either way, it works.
Well, Colby had he had won. I don't know what round it was, and here he is. He's doing his post game interview with the UFC when all of a sudden someone hands him the phone. During the interview,
this is the best I've ever looked, and oh, the POTUS is calling me, Mr. President.
You gonna put that on speakerphone?
No, I thought Trump was gonna say something crazy, not knowing he was on TV.
We're gonna try and get Donald on speakerphone. Let's see.
They're on the phone.
Okay, thank you.
Covington, right?
Yeah, this is Colby Covington. Thank you so much.
Does Trump know he's on TV?
You might want to just give him a warning. He is on speakerphone.
Probably, I think so.
Stay on the line. Just hang on. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, I got a trace on it.
Great television.
Get the Make America Great hat on.
Thank you so much.
You are a great fighter, man. I'll tell you. You make it so easy. I don't know how to do that. Congratulations. I wanted to watch that fight tonight. I wanted to watch it. You were great.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. You gave me the dragon energy when you shook my hand on Sunday at your rally, and it doesn't matter if King Kong was in front of me. I was not going to lose after getting to shake your hand and beat
your
rally.
You weren't going to lose. Well, he's a strong-looking guy, too. He's a tough guy. He's a great fighter. He was a champ, and that was easy work, relatively easy work for you. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you so
much,
Mr. President.
I'm proud of you. I just made a big speech. I had 35,000 people. I said, I got to get home. Watch Kobe. That was fast work. Well, great. He's a tough, and he's a good fighter, right? Yeah. Did he give you much of a problem? What did you see? Strong guy, right?
Yeah, strong guy, former champion, but it didn't matter who was in there, Mr. President. After getting to see you, I don't care if there was a Superman in there. I was beating anybody.
That's great, Kobe. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan, and I'm proud of you. You're tough. You have the right spirit. So now go win the next one and just keep it for a long time, right? Just keep that championship for a long time.
You are
something, and say hello to all the guys. I appreciated the shout-out tonight, too. I'm your fan, you're my fan. You know, two of a kind.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I'm going to bring you the new belt to the Oval Office soon after you win November 3rd by a landslide.
You get that belt and you bring it in, and I'll see you, man. We're rooting for you. I came in from a big speech tonight. I said, I got to get back. I got to watch this man.
He's like Donnie two times, isn't he?
He always has been.
Keep it going. You look great. You look fantastic.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Take care of yourself, okay?
Thank
you so much, Mr. President.
Very proud of you. Very proud of you, Colby. So, see you soon.
See you soon, Mr. President. Have a great night.
Now hang up the phone, all right? Because there's a lot of other guys at the gay bar who need to use it, all right?
Oh, Trump. Don't say that to
him. That was so weird. And those are always really awkward.
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's okay. It's fine. No,
awkward
honestly,
as hell.
I just don't.
You're right, though. That could have been a disaster.
It could have been.
If he had no idea that he's on television.
He had to have known, right, Brandon?
I think we've talked about this. There was a point at which Reagan was forced to stop calling the locker room because
he
just...
Ronald
Reagan! He was old. I mean, he may have had dementia then because he eventually, he was a shadow of himself at the end. Although, I think it was the Royals in 86, and he called, and they were passing the phone around, like everybody wants to say hi to the president. You know, I think it was meant to be a good thing, but it turned into a bad thing because he didn't know who the fuck he was talking to.
Is there audio of that?
I don't know. You know, if you Google it, I bet you could find at least the story where they said they're not going to do, that they stopped doing these calls, and maybe they'll reference it.
Oh, man, I never heard that.
Yeah.
That's sad.
By the way, I saw a clip of Reagan over the weekend, and I was like,
oh, how's he doing?
Ronald Reagan.
Great.
It was a rather old clip.
Does he have a mask on?
I found myself missing him. Like, don't we need someone like Ronald? Take the politics, the right left part out. I don't know. He just came off very well. I mean, Hollywood certainly was good
helps.
For him.
No, he's fine. I guess you saw the clip of him talking about escaping the surly bonds of Earth. To reach
yes,
the heavens.
Yes, I did, because I watched the Challenger thing on Netflix. Yeah. We both did.
4-part documentary series on what went wrong with the Challenger, really. But, man, so much footage.
It was great.
It's a phenomenal documentary. And I think my favorite part is the guy in charge who really is the guy that's, yeah, those O-rings, fuck it, let's launch. The guy that signed off.
Yeah.
Hearing him today go, if I had the same information then, I would have pushed forward.
Why do people say that?
I
want to see eight people die, and I saw eight people die, so I'd do it again.
I don't get it. I mean, I always knew there was a problem with
that's
the
what Matt Patricia
O-rings.
Always does.
Yeah,
he never will admit that he would have done anything different. Even though, yeah, he lost by 40 points. Would you have done anything different? Nope, not a thing.
Yeah, and it's oh boy, and you always talk about it, and it really hit home. Her parents.
Oh my God, now they're in the stands watching, and that thing goes, and these giant conrails going in nine different directions, like. Something about that doesn't look right.
And yeah, and then the wife.
And then they think that, oh, they know how to land, and, you know, the captain's great, and he's going to parachute,
fine.
And they'll be fine. They'll go rescue him.
Meanwhile, they showed home video footage of a guy who apparently lived near there filming it, and the second it's splintered, he goes, I think something went wrong. And they're like, really? You think so? He goes, oh, yeah, something's wrong. That's a big problem.
It's oh, like, boy.
How does
nice
that guy know right
thanks
away?
Thanks a lot. Well, you know, I remember I was watching it live in the newsroom at 1240 WROV. And when that happened, throttle up, and all of a sudden you go, what? I think it was like, I want to say 12 or 13 seconds before the announcer said anything was wrong or that anything might be wrong. And I'm going, dude, hello? But, you know, maybe they just want me on the safe side, but I've never seen anything look like that.
No. And can someone please make a meme of the guy that said, go with throttle up, because the look on his face after throttle up is just pure, what just happened? You know what guy I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
And launch control with the mustachioed man.
Woo. Yeah.
It's a really good documentary.
But yeah, that's a clip of Reagan I saw, which is Reagan at his best.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And he was good at that sort of thing.
Were they supposed to have the State of the Union that night?
Yes.
Okay, and he blew it off.
He blew it off.
Okay, well, bad choice of words, but yeah.
A yen.
But.
Here it is.
65, altitude 4.3 nautical miles, downrange distance 3 nautical miles. Engines throttling up, 3 engines now at 104%.
Challenger,
here he is.
Go with throttle up.
Watch his face.
Challenger, go with throttle up.
Someone meme him. I mean, that look on his face.
Yeah.
Obviously a major malfunction.
You think?
Did he say it that soon? It didn't seem like it was that soon, as I recall it.
It might not have been. It's a really good documentary, though.
You know what was really it just so tough was that the teacher, she changed the lineup, the astronaut lineup. And didn't somebody go that wouldn't have gone? And somebody didn't go that would have gone. You know, sort of like Waylon Jennings was going to be on the Buddy Holly flight, but he got bumped.
They talked to her backup. The backup teacher is all over the documentary. She didn't go. There was one guy who was on there who I don't think was going to go originally.
But
I didn't realize, you know, it's funny thing.
I remember somebody was bumped, though, and I thought they actually saw her parents afterwards or something.
Gary Sinise.
Exactly. That's it. Lieutenant Dan.
It is weird
close
to
enough.
Think how often we went, you know, we launched so many times a year that only three people on that ship hadn't been to space before.
Well, it was
that's crazy.
What they were talking about was so true that NASA and, you know, orbiting the Earth after you've been to the moon fucking cares. And so it wasn't a page eight event when a shuttle took off. It just wasn't a big deal. And, you know, voila, you get this idea. Well, let's put a regular person on there, and maybe that'll get attention. Sure enough, it does.
Houston, we have a problem.
You know what I thought was really funny? They showed a clip of Jerry Seinfeld talking about how bored he was with NASA.
That was really good.
And that, wouldn't it be spice it up if they put someone on there that didn't want to go?
That's a really funny bit.
He's grabbing at the key latches. You know, they're dragging him out there in his uniform.
The look on his face out the window going, I don't
want to go. Them. Cracked me up. That was really funny. And it really, I thought,
I'm trying to find the
set the stage well for why they did this.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find the part where they were debating, like, what kind of person to send up.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny. Because ultimately, they did PR-wise pick the best type of person, a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other ideas, I just remember being really funny.
What were they?
I got to find the part.
Yeah, she was... I mean, she could not have been more beloved by her family, by her students, and of course, at the schools. They're all watching this.
We watched it, yeah.
Oh, your class did?
Yeah.
And what did the teacher
do? It would have been fourth grade.
Teacher just turn it off and go, okay, it's all good.
Yeah, next lesson. It was wild.
Yeah, was it four parts?
Four parts, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And the more...
In an era of brotherhood here in our land.
Oh, never mind. That's Reagan yapping.
The incredible thing is that not only did they know this O-ring was a problem as they're scheduling, and it would have taken about a... Why would it take 2 years to fix the fucking O-ring?
Because scientists are slow.
Well, that struck me. Really, you can't just fast-track a new O-ring?
Who is the Nobel laureate physicist during the hearings? Which, so I don't know how much people know this, but they had televised hearings afterwards to find out, you know, what they did and what happened, what the failure was.
They weren't the most watchable hearings.
Well, except for
as
this,
I recall,
except for this part with this.
Well, physicist. Once in a while, yeah, but I mean, generally speaking, it was very scientific.
Yawn. He does a demonstration of putting an O-ring in some ice and how brittle it became on live TV. And the next thing you know, all right, close hearings from now on because they didn't want to embarrass NASA.
Right.
Yeah, this was the last clip that they showed before they shut it off.
Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Oh.
It's inappropriate.
Yeah, it was too bad.
I think I found the part from this documentary. It's called, is it just called Challengers?
I think it was called The Challenger.
Public's support for NASA that keeps it going.
And no one cared about the space launch.
NASA began to think this was time for us to bring in a non-professional astronaut to experience and share space flight.
The day is coming when you don't have to be an astronaut.
Do you remember the one celebrity who they were talking about sending up there besides Big Bird?
NASA, in fact, is looking for the first non-astronaut to fly.
Who was it?
I think it's coming up here.
The opportunity for the public in some form to fly on this spectacular vehicle was there.
I remember hearing a lot of names like Tom Wolfe and Walter Cronkite. Almost every news anchor in the
Tom
country
Wolf.
Wanted to be
who
the
fuck
to go
would
up.
Know who he was?
Writers, nobody.
Journalists.
Every
a great poet.
A poet.
Artist.
Get the fuck out of here.
This guy.
If you want to make people not watch.
I want to go up on the space shuttle.
You could do that. John Denver.
Oh, that's right.
A man who died in an experimental plane crash.
That he built himself.
Big Bird, yeah, Big Bird, but they talk about it.
You couldn't get a Big Bird costume into the crew compartment.
All kinds of people have
applied
on the shuttle. Doctors, entertainers, writers, TV news anchors. And yesterday, President Reagan announced his decision.
Today, I'm directing NASA to begin a search in all of our elementary and secondary
Ronald
schools.
Ronald Reagan!
And to choose as the first citizen passenger in the history of our space program, one of America's finest.
Are you fascinated by Challenger at all, Brandon?
I am, to an extent. Like, I didn't know any of that information there. I had no idea that Big Bird was considered. John Denver wanted to go. I had no idea. So, yeah, I do kind of want to watch this, but
it's really
I don't
good.
Recall it. I don't have that memory that you have of watching it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like what these kids these days think about maybe 9/11, where they didn't experience it, so maybe it doesn't mean that as much.
I don't mean to rag on Gen Z, but I can't believe if you saw the clips of the two planes flying into a building and then saw the buildings collapsing, which I would think at least most 20-year-olds would have seen once or twice, that you would probably think that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I'm trying to
grew up knowing that the Challenger explosion was a big deal. I grew up knowing that, but I didn't watch it like you did. And I think the most people who saw it, they talk about it, you know, like it was a major part of their lives, so I don't have that experience.
All right, Drew, you need to answer a question for me. I don't remember massive events like Challenger, 9/11, any of that stuff happening in the 70s. Was there a big event?
Okay, wow,
I mean, I feel like there were a lot of hijackings of airplanes.
Was Three Mile Island in 79?
That would have been the late 70s. Yeah,
that was kind of a big deal.
Big.
Because, oh my God, we're gonna blow ourselves up. The bicentennial was a big deal, which not to me, but I mean. They made a big deal out of it.
I mean, the Beatles broke up. Did I ever tell you I was almost the bicentennial baby?
No, I did not know that.
Apparently, in Columbus, Ohio, if you were the first baby born in the year 76, you got some kind of prizes. My due date was like, I want to say it was the 26th of December, and I was late, and my mom always said that grandma just went, I'm going home. This baby's never coming. She's going to go back to Toledo from Columbus. And, of course, I'm always late, so not only did I miss the due date and the bicentennial baby, I was 2 days later.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I was explaining that to Charlotte. I think it went over her head.
Okay, I'm trying.
Well, wasn't the 70s?
Watergate was gigantic.
Watergate.
Course, yeah, I was going to ask, Christ, Watergate, yeah. And the Cold War, right?
Yeah, I remember the Cold War. We walked around, you know, talking about the Cold War all the time. It was just something that was just going.
I don't know. I wasn't around.
I remember
Vietnam ended.
I remember Reagan getting shot.
That was 81.
I told you my mom was crying. And then she was also crying when Princess Di got married. And I was really confused as a 5-year-old.
Yeah, those were close together, weren't they?
Very close, yeah. And then the wall coming down was big in 89.
That was a big deal.
You know what else? I always wanted to have a 1776 party, you know? Like, I always figured... You know, didn't all the teenagers and shit, didn't they have a massive bash to celebrate that? But then again, I was 16 during the year 2000, and it wasn't really that big of a bash.
That's right. Y2K was a big lead up, but nothing happened.
Yeah, it was all about Y2K, and really, we didn't celebrate the chronological event enough. But, you know, Reagan getting shot, the more I think about it. Okay, I would have been 4 years old when Kennedy was killed. Mm-hmm. I was 9 when Robert Kennedy was assassinated, as was Martin Luther King, and then Gerald Ford was shot at twice.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
By Squeaky Fromm and by Sarah Jane Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's a big 70s event.
But that's three presidents out of... Yeah, well, 60, actually, no. Robert Kennedy wasn't a president. But
in 18 years, that's...
Yeah, that's a lot of assassination attempts. Yeah. And Reagan was hit by a bullet. And it was, you know, it was one of those things where you just thought, oh, my God, is he going to make it? It just seemed like when somebody was shot, they usually didn't make it. And let's see, was that right after John Lennon? I think it was.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, so there was a lot of that. And then.
This is how I learned about that one.
Somebody just told me that President Reagan and some other people have been shot. I hope they're not hurt badly.
You know what I remember about that, which is really strange, because it feels like today that this would happen. James Brady, the press secretary, was shot in the head, and he was never the same. It was one of those things where, you know, he couldn't talk right, he couldn't move right. I mean, he was just completely dissembled, but he trudged on and fought and tried, you know, and his wife carried the battle, you know, to get the Brady bill passed, and people were really angry at Sarah Brady because she was trying to control guns. Yeah. You know, she was trying to do something to make it, and of course those things don't generally go well, but you know, how could you not have some sympathy for Sarah Brady, for Christ's sake?
You think,
but,
yeah.
But if that happened now, she would get no sympathy.
No, zero.
I mean, she would get sympathy from half the country, and the other half would be yelling
her
at
her. Crisis actor wife. A crisis yes. Wife actor, actress.
A crisis actor.
There, one more thing
I
from
can't
Challenger.
Believe we say that term.
From the Challenger documentary. It was nice to know that there's people at NASA that are as inept at doing things as I am. For instance, so they put all the astronauts in. They're going to launch. They have a little problem with the screws being stripped.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They have to take a door handle off.
Yeah.
And the screw to take it out was stripped. So they had to have this team go out there and fix it. This is what happened.
It's full of battery-operated tools because you can't use anything other than battery-operated
tools. He likes rockets.
In the tank.
We expect to drill out the problem screw within about 15 minutes.
The problem was all of the batteries were dead.
Oops! I would do that.
It's more like watching a rerun of the Three Stooges.
I'd show up with equipment that would be dead.
And then Stooges were a perfect reference, by the way.
They came back with this real high-tech aerospace tool called a hacksaw. They literally...
Which is what I would do.
Cutting this handle.
And then I'd start kicking it, trying to break it off.
Off of there. And you don't do that in a few seconds. It used up most of the launch window.
The winds have been increasing.
So the implication is because it took them so long to fix this, they had to scrap that launch.
Right.
And then launch on a day when it was really, really cold out. Leading
and
up to the
honestly, problem. Because it takes 2 years to fix the O-ring. They're like, oh, we got a schedule. This flight, school teacher thing. We got a roll. And nobody, you know, NASA says, everything's all right, you know, to everybody else.
Yeah.
They don't want other people knowing there's anything wrong because there's so much funding to NASA and it all is a big PR thing.
Yeah, the bureaucrats at NASA are like, hey, we promised Congress 18 launches.
Yeah, so we got to somehow make that O-ring work.
Yeah.
And we, you know, take 2 years to get a new one. That'll fuck everything up. But then they're going to launch it. And they launch it in cold weather because they don't want to wait another couple of days? That was ridiculous. That's amazing. Talk about not seeing the forest for the trees.
A few days early, they didn't want to launch it because the Super Bowl was on or something. That's what I took away. It was like a nice day, and they're like, let's scrap this launch. It's Super Bowl Sunday.
I was really for one amazed
of the worst Super Bowls ever, Super Bowl 20.
I'm going to the Super Bowl.
They knew that cold weather was a problem. It could be a bigger problem, and they just... We're like, no, we got to get that fucking thing up. Get out. People want that school teacher in space now.
The fact is, if they would have launched on a nice day, another shuttle eventually would have blown up because those O-rings were such a disaster.
Probably true. Zot Ford and Holly and DealsNindy.com are at it again. They've brought back everyone's favorite month of the year. That's truck month, baby. That means right now is the best time to take advantage of this year's most incredible savings on all Ford trucks. It includes the number one selling truck in America for 42 straight years, the legendary Ford F-150. And, of course, we can't ignore the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked-about truck in Detroit. So get to Zot Ford. Lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or see the hottest sales staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Gabar and the gang at Zot still have new Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. So see all the details. And surf the massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Dr. Yaldo is back. People are getting $1,500 off on LASIK surgery or multifocal lens implants. And, of course, the more you have off, the sooner this pays off when you don't pay for glasses and contacts, reading glasses and things like that. Custom topography guided LASIK, the most precise in the world, allows you to throw your contacts and glasses in the garbage and see better than you ever could with them. And then over 45 multifocal lens implants, lens replacement will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. These surgeries are about lifestyle. And a lot of people are doing things about lifestyle right now because maybe they can't do a lot of other things, but you can do this. Call Dr. Yaldo, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell me you want the Drew and Mike discount, $1,500 off. And remember, if you bring a friend and you talk them into it, you can get another whole chunk off, half off.
Think of how well that friend will be able to see you
afterwards.
You guys can just stare into each other's eyes.
Okay, so we've avoided the most horrible topic of the entire weekend, all show so far, and that is... This is so strange. I can never imagine that almost anything involving a Supreme Court justice could upset me or get me worked. And I'm not really worked up about it, but I cannot think.
Aside from a decision, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose once in a while a decision might affect me. But RBG.
There's your white male straight privilege. No, I'm just kidding.
RBG dying is just. Isn't that just the one thing we don't need right now is another big fight?
Or I guess the other thing we wouldn't need is another Supreme Court justice dying tomorrow.
Well, that's true. That could be, somebody gets hit by a car and dies tomorrow.
Yeah, not the thing we need.
And this,
holy fucking shit, you guys! I'm driving in a car, but I just got a notification that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died! Fuck!
Yeesh.
Could this year get any
Wow, do you need a following that bad, honey?
You know, I'm still amazed that people can get this worked up over Supreme Court justice because it's the Supreme Court. I know it's important. It's not that I don't understand it, but to be screaming in your car and screaming on social media, it just, what good does that do? I mean, I'm not sure why people are that angry in the first place. And I know it's important, obviously, this person is, and they could be involved in decisions that could be very important in one way or another, but all this social media stuff
is
like...
balance. Yeah, I mean, that's social media.
So here we go, another ugly fight, because Merrick Garland was 9 months. Was it 9 months till the election in 2016,
yeah,
or 237 days, which is more like 8 months? But Republicans were in a position where they could stall it.
Well, they were in control of the Senate, so McConnell said, "Well, it's not fair. We should let the American public decide, you know, with this presidential election."
Right. And Joe Biden in 2016 said, "It's the constitutional duty of the president to name a SCOTUS nominee even in an election year," which is not exactly what he's saying now.
Well, he can name a nominee. I think it's just whether or not the hearings are appropriate.
So here we go. This is going to be bad. In Trump's side, which is good for him anyway, is that he says he'll nominate a woman. So people will have to basically screw over a female to make this not happen because she'll be a conservative.
That's right.
So Trump can say, I nominate a woman. I'm trying to move women forward. Mm. And then, of course, that won't matter. And I expect that this person, whoever they are, do you think they'll be nominated soon?
Yeah, it sounds like it's the woman out of Chicago with three names.
How soon will this happen?
Oh, probably this week, I would guess.
Okay, well, just like Kavanaugh, and I still remember when Bentley said it, we were just looking at them being introduced, and Bentley was like, "Oh my God, I can't wait to find out what a piece of shit this guy is in the next 24 hours. I suspect this woman will become a total piece of shit within 48 hours.
It is a woman, though.
How? Little, yeah, it'll be a woman.
A little hard to attack a woman, isn't it?
Well, but she could be a racist. She could be. I mean, they could find something or someone.
Oh, they're going to find something.
They'll find something. And, boy, there were some real drama queens, if you ask me, they were just sort of compiling some of the things people were saying online. I mean, people of some note. As it turned out, the people weren't of as much note as I thought they would be, judging from the headline. Let me see if I can find that. There were some names, very specific names. And they were
Chrissy
basically
Teigen.
Saying... Chrissy Teigen. We'll get to Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, is it really? Honestly, is it a news bug?
There's
no
Chrissy
idea.
Teigen news of... Oh, it's really not Chrissy Teigen news, but... Oh, anyway, people were saying stuff like, you know, "We will burn it down!" You know, things just really...
Burn what down?
Burn the country down. I don't know. Or did the Congress down. Burn the Congress down. Yeah. What's that, Brian?
I thought Rob Reiner was one of them to pop off. There's a whole slew of different people who were calling for, get radicalized. And I don't know, just everybody is very, very, very upset about this one.
What did Rob Reiner say? Because I did not see him in the story.
What a meathead.
Stupid. Let me find it real quick, because I obviously you see, I think it was like James Woods and Rob Reiner going at it. And it's just ridiculous. It's the craziest thing.
I know, it is crazy. It's crazy. What's going to happen is going to happen, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't care about it, but it's just like the Stafford thing. When I saw these people,
sure.
I'm reading these comments, and I'm going, first of all, what's wrong with me reading the comments?
Yeah. you're complicit. You're part of the problem. You're providing an audience.
You know what happened was, because of what we do, I wondered what the comments would be, and I thought, well, they'll probably be generally, you know, he means well. I mean, and I think that's the problem with most stuff like this, is that I don't know why we can't all be a little nicer to each other and have a little civility.
If you do, you're a fucking idiot.
Here's Rob Reiner's tweet. RBG's body isn't even cold and Mitch McConnell is dancing on her grave. This is war. Democrats have powerful weapons and now is the time to use them.
Are you, what does that mean?
I don't know. Who knows what that means? But is it a little weird that it... I mean, maybe not. Never mind. I was going to say, I just thought it was weird how political it was immediately that night. But
oh,
I
sure.
guess, I
it
guess
all,
people
it,
wanted
all,
to comment.
No, no one can delay. No one can...
Yeah, that's fine.
Because that's kind of slimy to have everybody say 4 years ago that, you know, hey, we can't do this. We can't. And then 4 years later say, well, in different circumstances now. I mean, it looks slimy. It's political.
I agree. I feel like if you couldn't do Merrick Garland, then you can't do this. But I'm sure a lot of people can say, hey, fuck you, man.
I think as Bill Maher's talked about, it really illustrates how they're playing by two different sets of rules, where one says, like, fuck you, we're doing what we want. And the other side tries to play by some, you know, I guess, you know, well, this is what the...
There's a difference in that the Democrats didn't really have a choice. They fought that, see, by rights...
They don't have a choice.
You could
now
also say that, well, you were saying in 2016 that it should happen, so we're going to make it should happen because we agree with you now.
They don't have a choice now, but it would have been nicer if McConnell just said, you know what, fuck you, we're going to wait until after the election. Because they were in charge of the Senate, instead of lying about...
I'm not sure it wouldn't have helped Trump to do that, because then when you elect Trump, if you want to elect Trump, then you are also electing the next Supreme Court justice to be a conservative.
That's
right.
I got to say, we were talking about this before the show. I have very little interest in watching any obit or story about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's just, I don't know.
I'm sorry, but I feel the same way.
Really excited, but I got to say... This,
although, she was wonderful.
I find she was the best.
She's so wonderful.
I find this to be an amazing kind of political maneuvering by both sides that I will find highly entertaining to watch.
I think I'm really tired of political maneuvering, but I'll pay attention to it.
Stop reading the comments then.
Well, I mean, that's part of it.
No, I know. But...
There was one comment that I just wanted to vomit, and it was actually a story about Meghan Markle talking about RPG, how she was a justice of courage, and RPG was an inspiration to me since I was a little girl. And I'm going, wait, Meghan Markle, if she was such an inspiration to you, why did you go into possibly the most shallow occupation available, acting?
Yeah.
Why didn't you go into law?
Yeah.
I mean, the virtue signaling is so fucking annoying. I mean, it makes me crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
And of course, I hate her. That reminds me, speaking of celebrities, is off the subject, but see, Van Morrison put out 3 songs, and he's protesting the UK. The songs are protest songs against the UK coronavirus lockdown.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so people are very angry at him.
Oh, boy.
And Noel Gallagher also, I think it was on Friday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Said, I'm not worried about coronavirus. If it happens, I'll take it.
Meanwhile, they're going through their second wave now, right? Spain's on lockdown again. France is on lockdown.
I didn't know Spain and France were on lockdown.
Yeah, today.
Like total lockdown?
Let me find this story so I can get the info right.
I have to say this, and I'm sure, again, a lot of people say I'm completely nuts. I feel like we should lock down and just fucking kill this thing. So, just make it go. Just lock every fucking one down, because until this thing is gone, we're just going to be a nutty country.
I was listening to, and this might be a little boring, but a podcast talking about where they had this epidemiologist and this economist.
Sounds a little boring to me.
That got together to say,
hey, a lot boring.
Six months ago, what do we get right? What do we get wrong? And, you know, the two rules of thumb were total lockdown like East Asia did, or the mitigation like Sweden did. I mean, we all know those two arguments.
We were locked down. We were told we were locked down. We had planes flying all over the place. We had, you know, protests going on. We had everything going on.
That's kind of their point. Their point is, we did neither, and we got neither benefit.
We
did a half-assed lockdown. And then,
yeah, so people suffered when their businesses were closed.
Said, yep.
But we did not get the benefit of knocking the virus.
Exactly. So then we did mitigation, and then we got the worst of that world because we didn't do anything to knock it. I was really kind
of... Tom Hanks has coronavirus?
And now we have kids in school, in college, where they like to party, and they're not going to stop socializing. We have fraternity. There were fraternities rushing at one of the schools. I read about this.
Cool.
They said, yeah, a lot of the numbers are from fraternity and sorority rush parties.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're having fraternity and sorority rush parties right now, when we have coronavirus, when these schools are supposedly, we've done everything we can to make sure that... Bullshit.
Yeah, they're young. No one can, you know.
No, I know. When you invited them to campus, you invited coronavirus to campus. There's no way. I mean, that's the age group that can least be trusted to have any common sense. And I wouldn't have had any if I was their age either. And then this, and this is part of why we're going to go insane, because although, you know, the election may change a lot of things. I don't know if you saw the story about the 2-year-old in Detroit, or 2-month-old.
Yeah.
That died here.
Yeah. Isn't that the UP?
Oh, was it the UP?
Was it up in the, I thought so.
Well, at the Whitmer press conference, the doctor announced that a 2-year-old died of COVID. And she said...
2-month-old.
2-month-old, I'm sorry. Children are less likely to get severely ill, but they still can. And she didn't name the baby or the mother... until the mother caught wind of it, and the mother was very angry because the baby she felt did not die of coronavirus. The baby had serious compromising health. I mean, serious. Her intestines were outside her body when she was born. And she had another problem in her digestion. I mean, really, like this kid would probably be very fortunate to live at all. And I guess if you were rooting for coronavirus, you would say that the kid died of coronavirus. And but she was mad that the government was skewing numbers and making her baby a statistic to benefit their agenda while her family suffered. And that's a quote.
Well, but two things. Number one, that doesn't mean that every time there's a report with a comorbidity, which is, you know, a vast majority of them, that just because this one happened doesn't mean that they're all fudged. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't mean. Of course, they're not all fudged. Two, but
nobody
but
knew, nobody knew who she was until she posted that on Facebook. So,
well, I think she was trying. She wanted to say that no,
sure,
they can say that, but that's not the truth. I had this baby. I saw the compromising health circumstances this child had. This child did not die of coronavirus. So, fuck you. And I don't. You know, obviously, she's someone who is less prone probably originally to want to blame coronavirus, but this kid, I mean, intestines outside the body, I've never even heard of that. So she felt that by pointing this out and by not naming her, they thought they were going to get away with saying that, oh, some two-month-old just got coronavirus. It just fucking died. And that was not the case. And I thought it was a little disingenuous. Why didn't they name this kid if they were so sure the kid died of coronavirus?
Because they probably got a report of it dying of the gastro, I don't even know what it was, plus the COVID.
Well, it looks
bad. They were all too happy to jump on that and make it a story. You're right. It's probably not the best thing to do.
2 months old are not dying of coronavirus. 2-year-olds are not dying of coronavirus. It's extremely, I mean, it would be extremely, extremely rare. And, in fact, if you look at the raw numbers, they can throw percentages out and all the time and say, oh, my God, deaths of kids under 15 are up, you know, 50%, but the raw numbers might be 2.
But do you know what the survival rate of that ailment that 2-month-old had?
I have no idea.
90%.
Well, you can argue with the mom.
No, I'm not. Believe me, I would not argue with her. I'm just saying, though, if that's...
But she did have some, there were some things that went wrong with that,
sure,
whatever it was called. Sure. Her intestines
disease
became inflamed
or something. Far more fearful than coronavirus, yeah.
Oh, I just found the, okay, I don't know if I want to read these. Just the people like Rob Reiner that were so bent about RBG. Oh, protesters swarmed Mitch McConnell's home in Kentucky.
God.
Really?
That's going to change his mind.
I mean, why is this stuff going on? Is this all social media? I mean, it seems to me a lot of it is, because I just don't remember this stuff happening.
Well, it's easier to mobilize people to do stupid things.
And it's easy to dox someone's home, too.
Yeah.
So, let's see, former CNN host Reza Aslan says, who's a religious scholar, if they even try, we burn the entire fucking thing down. House of Cards screenwriter, if Trump and McConnell try to ram through an appointment, we're shutting the country down. WAPO writer Laura Bassett, if McConnell jams someone through, there will be riots. Author Aaron Golvina, I've never heard of this person, Aaron Golvina, Via, fuck no, burn it down!
Great.
And Aaron suggested the Supreme Court be expanded after the election.
Expanded.
Yeah, expanded. I saw something where, you know, if Donald Trump gets his way and pushes this one through, we have to expand it to 11 judges.
Okay.
That sounds easy.
Scott Ross, member of the Wisconsin Ethics Committee, said, fucking A, if you can't shut it down, burn it down! So the thing that I really object to about this whole burn it down and all that is that if indeed this happens, which is to some people the very, 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 very worst case scenario, it's not illegal. I mean, they're not committing a crime by doing it. They're doing, I mean, Obama could have gotten Merrick Garland through. He didn't have the
Senate.
I mean, honestly, at that time, I remember thinking, this just doesn't feel right to me.
I agree.
There's 8 months left. It seems to me he should be able to an election year. How many people have been confirmed in election years? I mean, has it happened before?
Well, that was their huge point. In 2016, it hadn't happened in 70 years, so they made such a huge deal about it.
Because there's 1 year out of every 4 is an election year.
Yeah, but how often are Supreme Court justices named? It right. doesn't happen that often.
Well, 70 years, though, there's got to be. How many were named in the 70 years? Got to be more than 8 or 12, I would think.
Why do they have to be lifetime, too?
I know. Aren't we one of two countries that has lifetime Supreme Court members?
Yeah, it seems crazy to me.
I mean, what if they go senile and they're still a justice?
Well, they're under a lot of pressure to hang on, too, because, well, if you go now, if you resign now, then this guy's president, you know. Right. So you got to stay in there even though you're clueless.
Well, there's been a lot of talk. I mean, it'll never happen, but there's been talk about them having term limits, but they're still going to be 18 years or so.
Well, that's better than a lifetime.
I kind of think so, too.
Well, there was a crazy story. Did you guys see the story about the Harper Woods guy that used a prosthetic mask to steal money from casinos?
No.
He must be a younger guy, and he had this prosthetic mask that made him look really old.
Oh, like that Jackass movie?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bad Grandpa? Yeah. Right? Is that the right one or no?
Maybe that's where he got it from.
He stole over $100,000 from casinos. He had stolen identities. This is pretty wild. Apparently, there's some, maybe this is on the dark web or maybe it's on the main web. You can get all the information about someone's identity, their license, their driver's license number, their date of birth, their address.
You can get most of that on the normal web, yeah.
Social security numbers and phone numbers. And then he would create these false identities.
Who am I?
And, you know, had some making the picture match and all that stuff. And then he would go into the casinos and he would just go from kiosk to kiosk. They said he withdrew
$2,000
15 times.
Wow.
For $30,000 at various kiosks. And this is at a tribal casino in Kansas. Security approaches him due to the amounts. And they say, you got to go to the cashier cage. And verify phone numbers and social security numbers.
Who the hell are you anyway?
I think he would have already done, but he said, okay, I'll head over there. It was sort of I think they were suggesting it was sort of formality. I don't think they were totally on to him.
Yeah.
So then he dodges into the bathroom where he removes his disguise and exits with a noticeable bulge in his pants on the security camera.
Wow, that was a good move.
Cool.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And then there was another one where he left a casino. They found this after the fact. They're like, hey, who is somebody stealing money from this person? They had 10 identity thefts at one casino.
Oh, wow.
So they start looking
at all these. This dude should be arrested for thief.
They start looking at the various, you know, cameras, and they find, this guy's getting money again. It's this guy again. Oh, it's that name? Yeah, that's one of them. That's one of them. That's one of them.
Wow.
So they follow him as he leaves the casino, and then they have surveillance footage of him going into a restaurant. And 10 minutes later, he comes out of the restaurant, no disguise and different clothes.
A huge bulge in his pants again.
I think he had a backpack or something with other clothes.
Is this reminding anybody else but me of the movie Almost an Angel, starring Paul Hogan?
Oh no! Is this another one of Brandon's bad movies?
What? Yeah, Almost
Brandon
an Angel
falls
starring
in love with
Paul
the worst
Hogan
movies.
Can we start a list of his questionable movies?
I think we should post it. Movies to stay
away
from.
Check it out. Hold on. Paul Hogan in Almost an Angel.
Paul Hogan. Almost
Paul
an Angel.
Hogan
like isn't even one of his top 20 movies.
Brandon, if it's
stop
not
it.
That.
Just stop right now.
What was the crazy movie Paul Hogan did that everybody liked?
Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, if it's not Crocodile Dundee, then it's a no-go.
Okay, just watch. Watch this clip.
Trust you. It's a question of collateral.
Now, I'm going to fast forward a little bit and see what happens here. Oh. Who's the one robbing this bank right now?
He looks
right
like
now?
Paul Hogan with his disguise.
It's like Willie Nelson.
It does look like Willie
exactly.
Nelson.
Exactly. It's Paul Hogan using a mask to rob a bank as Willie Nelson.
Good luck, Willie.
That's a nice touch where he says good luck, Willie, to himself.
That's Paul Hogan.
Was he saying
it's
to
not
all the girls
that
I loved
either.
Before?
Yeah, he was.
Hold on, it's not just that either. He does a Rod Stewart one where he robs a bank as Rob Stewart.
Really?
I'm telling you. Yeah, this
did
guy
they hire
must have gotten...
Did they hire Kevin Spacey's brother to play him? They should have.
Let's see.
Did they, Brandon? Oh, man. Wait, was that really Willie Nelson playing him?
Oh, no, I don't think that so. Was...
The movie's so good that it's available on YouTube for free.
Really?
Shut up. Yeah.
That must be on a limited basis.
Here it is. Oh, look at...
Who
God. Wait.
He killed someone?
No. All right. So he went into the bank as Rod Stewart, right? He was just.
Oh, yeah. I see the spiky hair. Wait, the band just have. Oh, he's got a boombox playing Young Turks. How cool is that?
Yeah. It's called Prep.
Ooh, and he's got his gun in there, too.
So you see, Paul Hogan basically.
So distraction is that they think Rod Stewart is just walking into the bank. Rod Stewart with a boombox playing Rod Stewart music, which is how he always rolls.
Does it all the time, yeah.
This Harper Woods dude, he watched Almost an Angel a couple weeks ago, and now he's just wreaking havoc on these casinos.
Except, wait a sec. I'm reading the synopsis of it, and Paul Hogan died in a car accident, and God sends him back to the earth.
To rob banks?
Yeah, he got hit by a car as Rod Stewart, and then, yes, the Lord granted him some special powers. That's why it's called Almost an Angel, dude. All
what right. if he was hit by a car that was being driven by the Rod Stewart lookalike, Kevin Spacey's brother, when he was chauffeuring someone somewhere in their choice of outfit?
Drew, what do you think it gets on the thermometer?
I'm going to say...
What are you going to start with, critics or...
I'll start with the audience is going to give it a... Oh, boy. The audience likes it. 26.
48.
What? Yeah. Well, Brandon obviously went on there 50 times.
Yes.
The critics are going to say 33.
25.
It's not that far off.
What a lousy movie.
Well, give it a shot, guys.
You can't even come up with a rating for it.
Give it a shot. I think it's more likely he learned it from Bad Grandpa. So did they catch this dude? Did they catch the thief, Drew?
Yes, they did.
And he was how old?
They didn't say. I mean, there was not a lot of information. They just said a Harper Woods man used a prosthetic mask.
So I'm not sure they have him,
actually, but I think they know who he is. Oh, you did see a name, Brandon?
Yeah, let me check to see if it was an actual name or if it was one of his disguised names.
But he's a local guy, and he did it at tribal casinos throughout the Midwest, like all over?
They were tribal casinos in Kansas. He's from Harper Woods.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy.
Did you see the videos of it?
No.
What? Is this going to be another clip from Almost an Angel?
I wish. There's not enough.
He's setting up a clip.
I kind of feel like
I
can't believe how hard he wants to sell these movies. Does he have an interest in them?
Should have a movie screening night.
I know he's got stock in Cameo.
From the ATM, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
It looks just like Bad Grandpa.
And he stole money from MGM, too, huh?
Yeah, I believe it was MGM.
Wow.
How about that?
I kind of want to let this guy go? Can the Star Chamber rule on this one? Say, you know what? That was a lot of work.
He did go to a lot of trouble.
Terrible these driver's licenses are.
You have to give him credit.
Hey, it worked. He looks like the guy from...
John Nyamnyuk. John Nyamnyuk.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't look like that guy.
I was going to say, he looks like from Better Call Saul, Mike Ehrmantraut.
Oh, the bald guy with the weird ears?
Yeah.
Is this him for real, though?
Jackson somebody?
It looks like this guy.
Oh, well, that's a mugshot in Jackson County. Huh.
What a cool story.
Yeah, we know the story. I don't know the story.
We should try the drawbridge jumper.
Sure. Well, it's his friend, technically.
Oh, he's friends with the disguise guy?
No.
Oh, his friend. Right. Right.
Yeah,
may live with him?
Or it could be his father.
He's Miguel's buddy.
Could be his dad.
Water is everywhere in your home, leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, under the dishwasher. That's why you need to call 877-JOB-DONE if you have one of these, because they can get out of hand and get really bad. Or if you've got mold from previous water or from any possible damp circumstances, you could have mold, and mold is scary. You want professionals. Call 877-JOB-DONE. You might have storm damage or fire damage, and what the hell do I do now? Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And they also are dealing with COVID. If you've got service vehicles or a workplace and you feel some COVID scumbag has been in there touching everything, call 877-JOB-DONE. Put it on your fridge, because if it's an emergency, you might probably want to call Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Another emergency you might have is if you're a guy facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam's been helping men like you protect your rights, your property, and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. So don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. Oh, we have an audio version of the commercial for the people needing help, don't we?
Yes, that we need to play.
I guess we should. Hope Not Handcuffs.
And it is hopenothandcuffs.com.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin. And I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department and I just made the split second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me. Hope Not Handcuffs arrived and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us guide you to recovery. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more.
There you go. And
4,600 people.
I know. And so many people have been, I think it is a spontaneous thing, sort of like getting cosmetic surgery is a spontaneous thing where you think about it, and then you finally call.
Yeah.
People who are having a problem like this, whether it's cocaine or so many people with painkillers for something legitimate, and they go, wow, this feels incredible. And they get hooked. And the next thing you know, they're like, I can't afford these. And so it's like, oh, heroin's a lot cheaper. Why don't you do heroin? And that's how it happens to a lot of people. So a lot of people do not choose. They just don't say, oh, I want to try heroin. Let's see what that's all about. No, they get sort of jacked into it. And rooting for people to get help because I think it feels like everyone knows someone who has had this kind of a problem.
Yeah, they got to get rid of that stigma.
Yep, and Hope Not Handcuffs is, I think, a great way to do it. And they have the drug courts, which have had some success, too, so it's a long battle.
Good for them.
And hopefully, with the help of someone in law enforcement who's not going to beat up on you and be trying to nail you for some chintzy-ass warrant, they're not going to do that. Yep. They're going to hook you up with a volunteer angel who comes to the police department, helps you with your paperwork, and a lot of time you need help at a time like that. Mm-hmm. And making phone calls to get you placed in treatment. So, hopenothandcuffs.com. I got to run up real quick, but I want to try this drawbridge guide. Do you think we have a shot?
Yeah, I honestly do. I'm pretty confident.
So psyched.
I don't, Brandon Ellie's gone. What do you think? What are the percentage we're going to put on it?
Did you call?
I did call. But I didn't have the conversation, which is always key, the conversation.
I know. So many times what it is I expect you to call, and then I think you expect me to call, and then we start the show and nobody calls, so we get the doo-doo-doo.
That's not really what it is. We're all just too busy with too much other stuff. I do want to try David Miscavige's dad, too. So.
All right. And we'll get some good guests.
So this is the Alan Parkman charged in connection with the property damage, which he blew through.
I really think that if he went public, people would pay this fine off.
Oh, that's a great point. Is there a GoFundMe?
I'm not exactly sure, especially because I do think that maybe there is a charge of driving under the influence of something, right?
Would they? Oh, yeah. See, I didn't know that until you said it, that he had something going on.
I could be 100% wrong, and I'm just throwing out allegations, and I'll get sued. But I thought I read that, or at least saw that somewhere.
Can you have a GoFundMe if it's a crime? I mean, I guess they have defense, a defense fund. They do that all the time.
Yeah, you always see ones for, raising money for court costs and stuff like that. But I don't know if you're going to get straight up murderers that are like, hey, throw me some coin.
What's your friend's name?
Don't you remember Brandon? I remember his name.
Well, that's the guy we're calling, right?
Yeah. The guy's name that jumped it was Miguel.
Yeah, I knew that. No, I just knew in case if the friend answered.
I don't remember.
I forgot.
Miggy Gomez is the jumper.
Making your way, the only way they know how. Yeah. have reached the voice mailbox of 3-6-7.
Hi, this is the Drew and Mike Show, and we're trying to reach Miguel. Talk about the incredible feat at the drawbridge last week.
Very supportive.
Something everybody has fantasized about doing, and you are the guy that actually pulled it off, and we'd love to talk to you and hear about all the thought that went into it. I mean, you made it. What can you say? Anyway, please call back the 248 number. Ah, yes, the Blues Brothers. That was One Leap. I was tweeting out the picture of the Blues Brothers mobile leaping the drawbridge.
You don't like it? No, I don't like it.
Elwood Blues. And Jake. There he goes.
Let me amuse you.
The car's got a lot of pickup. It's got a cop motor, a 440 cubic inch plant. It's got cop tires, cop suspension, cop shocks. It's a model made before catalytic converters, so it'll run good on regular gas. What do you say? Is it the new Bluesmobile or what? Fix the cigarette lighter.
That's how I like to imagine the jump actually happening.
Yeah, me too.
I have a feeling it wasn't like that. I'm still shocked.
He did blow the tires, so.
Well, where's the video of it?
There has to be surveillance. I know,
it's pretty disappointing. They did talk to the guy, Aaron, who was operating the drawbridge at the time, but I think
they said it was Andre.
They made it sound like they're scouring to find the video.
Yeah.
But
I'll just ask that guy for his cell phone.
Sure, and yeah, according to WWJ, they said he was hitting them whippets right before he jumped it.
God, whippets, that didn't seem like the thing you would do before a jump like that.
I don't think that's the thing you would do behind the wheel.
No, not at all.
I wouldn't want to be on the road.
It was weird hearing Tim Pamplin say whippets. It was very strange.
You mean the night cam?
Yes.
I don't even want to know his real name. It was just the night cam to me.
I've met him.
I know.
It was very weird, too. I'm still not really happy that I met him.
I was very disappointed that day he came in because everybody met him, but I somehow missed out on meeting him. But then I realized, it's good. I don't want to meet him. I want him just to be the night cam.
Why do they never show him? I don't understand. Is that a running gag?
I think it's he wants the cam to speak for him.
Is it because he's covering that grisly, gritty streets of Detroit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
With his British accent, which makes him
cool, extra cool,
more authoritarian on it.
Let's take a venture into. Do we have any other phone numbers? I can't remember.
Miss Cavage's dad.
Oh yeah, let's do. Should we try Miss Cavage's dad?
Yeah,
that could be an adventure.
There's two numbers. It's actually
Ronnie Miss Cavage.
It's actually three. Let's see here.
Hey, have you taken a look at Ratched on Netflix?
You know what? Is that the follow-up to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where it's Nurse Ratched?
Yes.
No, you know why I didn't watch it? Because doesn't it star Sarah Paulson?
Yes, it does.
I don't want to watch her. I don't know why she bothers me. I don't know why.
I'd never dreamed I would take an interest in it.
Yeah.
But I'm watching it. I'm going, okay, I'm not ready to turn it off yet. I think I'll watch a little more. And then next thing I knew, I'm through like three episodes. I'm like, I still want to keep watching. And I kept watching.
Really?
It's kind of crazy. I mean, it's sort of out there. If you're not somebody that likes. I could give away a one part, but well, there's a part where, for example.
Is Danny DeVito in it?
Negative. There's a part in Ratched where the doctor, who Nurse Ratched is his, she's chief of his staff, and the doctor is trying to treat Sharon Stone's son. Sharon Stone's in this too.
Yeah.
And this guy is so fucked up. He takes joy in doing horrible things to people.
Oh, really?
So he's trying to figure out what's wrong with him. And he decides that he's going to give him a hit of acid to try and open his mind up a little bit, mm-hmm. expand his mind. And so he puts a hit of acid. He tells him what he's doing. And he says, well, I don't want to trip alone. and the doctor says, okay, I'll put a drop in my glass, too.
Oh.
And so he fakes putting the dropper in there.
Yeah.
And then he asks him a question, and he sort of bends over to get something out of his briefcase.
Oh, boy.
And the kid pours all of the acid into the doctor's drink,
ooh.
And which the doctor then drinks.
Mm.
It's like, 2,000 times what he had.
Yeah.
So what happens? I won't tell you what happens. I can't possibly tell you what happens, but that is the most fucked up thing in the whole movie. What happens at that point is absolutely insane.
Hmm. So there's electricity in this story?
They're not tripping.
There is. I could use a little more electricity, but there's enough. I didn't see any TVs.
Speaking of which, somebody actually presented this question to me this past weekend. There's a new movie coming out with Ethan Hawke called Tesla.
The Hawk?
Mm.
It's about
Nikola Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Nikola Tesla.
Or the band Tesla, yeah.
So technically, I don't think there's going to be a lot of electricity in that era, but it's about a guy who kind of helps create electricity. Would you be willing to watch this one, Drew?
I don't think so. Okay. I'm not interested in seeing sausage made. I like sausage, but I don't want to see it made. I like electricity, but I don't think I want to see it made.
How ridiculous. What a lame
excuse. I mean, unless he discovers at the beginning of the movie.
I wish you were watching.
We like to celebrate saints. Suck my big fat fucking sausage.
I never expected you to watch Raised by Wolves. That's just too weird for you. But I really wish you would watch The Boys, because the last episode of The Boys has a very interesting angle with social media in it, in creating memes to create a message. I think you'd actually like that show. It's really kind of messed up.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Yeah. I liked season one, and I've only seen 1.5 episodes of this new second season, and I like it so far.
It's really, God, it's really good. It's, I don't know. I like it.
Well, Ron Miscavige is calling out Scientology, his son, and also John Travolta for ignoring all the things that are going on in Scientology, which Travolta does do very well.
What was the line he said Travolta said when...
Something about, hey, if I can get my auditing, that's all I need to get by.
How selfish.
People come and people go. Yeah, I think that is such bullshit. And I... For somebody to put their name on this as if it's something good. And of course the celebrities are treated like kings in Scientology. I mean, they're treated like the president or something.
Except for, did you see the Brad Pitt Scientology story over the weekend?
You know, I didn't read that, but what's the story? Was he in Scientology one time?
He was in Scientology for, was it 3 years when he was dating Juliette Lewis?
Really?
Yeah, and he was twinned up, they call it, which is a new Scientology term I never heard of, with a 15-year-old girl for 5 hours a day in a hot sauna. They would do these purification rituals.
Yeah?
Where they just sit there and basically sweat their balls off and have to stare at each other. It was developed by L. Ron Hubbard. Consists of high doses of vitamins, long saunas, and exercise, which I thought
This is what Brooke Shields should have been doing when she had postpartum, according to Tom Cruise.
Well, to me, it sounded like Chris Chelios' workout routine when he would work out in the sauna.
Yeah, on the bicycle.
Yeah. And then Pitt's former church supervisor recalled the insulted the shit out of Pitt and verbally abused him in something they call, bull baiting sessions. Science. So,
why would they do it to Brad? Was he not Brad Pitt then?
He was still some renowned Brad Pitt when he was dating Juliette Lewis. But I guess you look at...
I was never a big fan of him.
Basically, the coach tries to get the student to react by pushing the student's buttons, and that's what I did with Brad Pitt. I did it mercilessly, insulting the shit out of him. His then-girlfriend Juliette Lewis was there. He got so pissed off, he walked out of the trailer and just split. Juliette had to rescue him. He just needed to cool off. I guess no one had ever bull baited him before. I was going pretty hard on him. That's the whole point, to get the person where they no longer react and can be comfortable being there. Which kind of sounds like the bullshit Nexium peddled.
Yeah. I would love to know the scientific value of five-hour saunas, by the way. Or how L. Ron Hubbard came up with this.
He probably wanted to see other people in a sauna sweat. A power move.
I mean, honestly, we know now. Okay, who are we calling again?
Ron.
Oh, Ron.
Oh, the wireless customer you are calling is not available. Please try again later.
Oh, that's the one that answered earlier. Okay, there's one more.
This guy does turn up. I mean, I heard him on Joe Rogan a couple years ago. Yeah, a couple years ago. He was a great interview. Fabulous interview.
Ooh, that sounds like a rocky connection there.
Ronnie Miscavige. He's 84. Getting up there.
And
well, that Scientology did some good for him.
His new girl's 57.
Hot. Seriously?
Yeah, it's in the story.
I don't see him.
Hello?
Hi, is Ron there?
Who's this?
This is Drew from the Drew and Mike Show, and we had heard about his new book, and I'd read a long piece on him talking about Scientology, and I was excited and thought maybe I could talk to him.
Is this Becky?
Well, this is Becky. He's just about to do an interview. Hold on, Drew.
Well, let's schedule him for tomorrow.
No, yeah. Hold on.
Okay. Hey, Becky?
Hold on. You're on speaker.
Okay. I'm sorry. Who is this?
This is the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit. How you doing, Ron?
I'm okay, but listen, my friend, I'm about ready to do an interview.
Could we
make it to the point, like 10 seconds?
Can we call you tomorrow?
Yeah. Now, what's this about? Just give it to me.
About your book.
The book.
Okay, good. This is not a political thing.
No.
God, no.
Okay, because I don't want to get involved in that shit right now. There's enough of it going on without having me to add to the plot.
Amen.
Okay?
The less political, the better.
I do agree. And by the way, you're from Detroit?
Yes, sir.
Man, I'll tell you, Motown, that's what I remember. I'm a musician.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you were in Scientology. You were in the band.
Well, I've been playing professionally since I'm 13 years old. I mean, I was playing for money when I was a 13-year-old kid.
Wow, you play, what do you play, the saxophone or a horn or something?
No, I play the trumpet and I sing.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, okay, I'll tell you what. Call me tomorrow. That'd be the best thing.
Tomorrow, okay. We're on East Coast time, of course.
So you're Eastern Standard? You're an hour behind us. Can we call you at 4:30 your time?
Whoa, no. Call me earlier in the day.
Okay.
What time are you at work?
We generally start about 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we can wrap up around 7 or so. So, I mean, we could call you at 5:30 or 3:30?
3:30. Your
time?
Yeah,
the earlier the better.
Okay.
The earlier the better,
We'll shoot for 3:30.
Yeah, and then, I don't normally take calls. It's amazing that we really picked up on this.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. The call will come from this number tomorrow, too.
Okay, two for
I'm going to assign this. Okay, you've got to go, Ron.
Okay.
I'll assign the number. You call him tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you so much. You. Bye, Becky.
Bye,
Ron. See you.
See you.
Taking care of business.
Show meeting. See that? I hope the listeners appreciated to hear how the sausage gets made.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. Oh, boy.
I was worried. I felt like that 10 seconds was clicking away the whole time we're talking to him.
I couldn't remember the trumpet. I was trying to picture the trumpet because I remember seeing that about him and wondering how good a musician he really was.
That'll be fascinating.
But apparently he's made music his entire life. Or made a living.
I don't know. Music.
He was in a band before Scientology. That's right. And he got... Didn't he get David into it?
Into Scientology?
Yeah. I believe that's where he goes. Well, I'll have to move on.
Well, in that case, he did a good job. I mean, his son rose to the top. He should be very proud of him.
Yeah, right. And he's got family that are still in there. And, of course, he can't talk to them.
That's ridiculous. Nice religion.
Well, I think it's the sign... You know something is wrong with an operation when they cut you off from people in your life, any people in your life. Why would anyone do that? Because they need one message going into you, theirs.
I just thought of the one question I want to ask. How did David learn to order two meals for dinner?
I know, that's a good one. I got to say, that's pretty good.
About David Miscavige.
It makes him sound so important, too.
Ordering two meals and then deciding which one he wants to eat.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Okay,
Brandon, you should do that when Kristen brings...
That sounds awesome.
She should ever bring
really
you two
does.
Meals, and then you decide which one you want to eat.
Well, no, somebody else eats a couple bites of each meal, and they verify that it's okay.
Yeah,
isn't that part of it?
That's part of it, but then he decides by looking at it which one he wants to eat.
Right. Like, oh, that lobster looks good. You know what? Get the steak out of here. Get the steak the fuck out of here.
I mean, do you ever have that when you go out to a restaurant and you order something different from someone, and then you look at it and go, I wish I had that.
Oh, all the time.
It's the same thing. Brilliant.
Okay, so it's funny that Brad Pitt came up because I could not believe the to-do they made over this table read for Ridgemont High.
Yeah, Fast Times.
You know, which is like, first of all, why would they even do a table read for that now? But it was it's somehow involved in a charity, sure. I guess. And they had all these people on Zoom, which, you know, I have to be honest, it was kind of cool to see this many big stars on one Zoom call. Because this was big people. Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, and of course they were playing the scene where Brad in the movie, who's played by Judge Reinhold, gets busted masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
To Jennifer Aniston's character. How funny. Anyway, Sean Penn was in it. Ray Liotta.
What's the point? Just to...
Raise money. I think they were raising money for Garcetti, something related to Garcetti. Because he blabbed on, and I was like, wait, dude, nobody's going to listen to this if you don't shut up. And Shia LaBeouf was in there. Julia Roberts.
Shia LaBeouf, who stole the show, because he was... He played Jeff Spicoli, and he was getting really, really, really high for reals.
Really?
He was just toking on joints in his car. He's looking at the camera like, dah. I mean, he was wrecked.
And Matt McConaughey played Damone.
That seems too perfect.
It was pretty cool.
Man, I kind of want him to actually remake the whole movie now instead of a table read.
Well, also, for some reason, I have no idea why, one of the people playing a character was John Legend.
What? Because he's available?
It's because he's available. He was easy.
Probably
to book somebody at the last minute because somebody dropped out. So what happens? Oh, Chrissy Teigen walks in like she has no idea what he's doing.
Dick!
Bullshit.
Yeah, she starts dropping F-bombs like, oh, classy, God. Teigen.
Oh, those guys are back!
So one thing that was really bizarre about this, in my opinion, I mean, so bizarre, I can't figure it out. Dane Cook was the MC.
Really?
Dane Cook?
Is it his idea?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, it was a Sean Penn thing. I believe it was Sean Penn's fundraiser for something. Or somehow it was helping Sean Penn's charity or charity.
I didn't even see him. I thought it was Morgan Freeman since he was doing...
Freeman was in it. Morgan Freeman was doing the setting the scenes and the narration. And Dane Cook was like the upfront host. And then I think he hosted the post-table read with Cameron Crowe. And who's the female that directed? Becky?
Amy
Heckerling? Yeah. But it was like, Dane Cook? I mean, doesn't that name not fit with all those names?
Doesn't fit at all. That's why I figured.
His face has been changing, too, lately.
Yeah, he looks like he got plastic surgery to look 20 years younger. Of course, he's dating a 16-year-old, I think, or a 19-year-old. She was 19 when he started dating her. He's 47.
Which one is he there, Brandon?
He's both of them.
No, I know. Which one is Dane Cook now?
On the right.
On the right. On the left is when he was all young and hip and cool. Check me out.
Gaining weight?
Yeah, he might be a little bigger. Yeah.
He was taking jaw steroids.
Well, anyway, he was Dane Cook. I mean, he seemed like Dane Cook as always. And one thing that was strange is at the beginning, he warned about language. Like, now I remember this is written in 1981, so, some of the language is going to... And I'm saying, what language is there?
Chrissy Teigen.
Like this.
Oh, those guys are back!
Okay. Well, they didn't do the whole movie today.
Oh, gnarly!
So, anyway, as I was watching this thing, I was thinking that because people went crazy the day after, like, oh my God, Brad Pitt, he does this read scene with Jennifer Aniston where he's beating off her. Oh my God, it's a great, is Brad going to fuck Jennifer Aniston? And I was thinking, that is the pay-per-view that all the women want to see, is Brad nailing. It's even bigger than Bradley Cooper and Gaga. It's like probably the biggest pay-per-view there could ever be is Brad Pitt is going to fuck Jennifer Aniston on pay-per-view.
Why? What? We've seen his penis. It's very small.
I don't know why. It's just people were going crazy on Friday, and I was trying to think, God, what could be bigger than Brad Pitt and Aniston? Well, of course, Bradley Cooper and Gaga. All the women want to see them fuck so bad. And I was thinking, well, unless you throw in weird things like Putin boofooing Trump.
Yeah.
Like people, there are a lot of people pay to see that.
Like things that could actually happen.
Yes, things that could actually happen. A couple
that could actually happen.
Yes.
It's interesting.
I think Bradley Cooper and Gaga could, that would be a tough race between them and Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, if you paid $29.99 to see, and you would get one of them. I think everyone in the country would probably sign up.
Maybe because it's on the top of my mind. I'm surprised we haven't seen John Legend and Chrissy Teigen fuck on social media.
Oh, where she accidentally hits record or something? Or
yeah. It would be the softest lovemaking, too.
Yes, it would.
She'd be awkward.
He would be a wonderful lover. He would be so gentle.
I can tell you this much. There'd be way too many candles.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there would.
Have you seen the new ad that they have? You know, remember when they did that Super Bowl ad?
He's the most gentle lover, by the way, John Legend. He really is.
I have a feeling he asks like every 10 seconds,
is that okay?
Does that hurt?
Can I do this?
What else?
Can I plunge my penis inside you?
Meanwhile, she's like probably just
all the way.
Down. Will you just fuck me, John?
Can I pull out now and pump back in?
Probably her ramming a huge dildo in herself while John kisses her face.
Oh, come on.
Chrissy gets impatient.
Because he's been this gentle lover. She's just impatient.
I just want to be gentle. Anyway, along these lines, I saw the Aaron Carter story. I think, did you send that, Brandon?
Yeah, just because. Why not?
What a great PR man Aaron Carter has.
I know. Really, you're right. He does. Aaron Carter is apparently doing something else on a piano on his OnlyFans thing. Or that's not OnlyFans. It's called something else.
Another cam soda.
Yes. And this is supposed to be really kinky. So everybody should sign up for it. And then, for no reason whatsoever, he reveals that, yeah, I might do a porno if I was paid $3 million. So that's his price, $3 million. And at the end, he says, I'm a singer, not a porn star. It's like, oh, yeah, so why are you doing porn?
You are for $3 million. I bet you he would do it for way less than $3 million. He'd probably do it for $100,000.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he is, essentially, he's got to be making more money on the porn than he is on his singing. Easily. So he really is a porn star.
I hope Rick gets to do the negotiations for that porno movie. Hey, come on, guys. Rick again.
We should assign Rick. Will you text Rick and tell him to please find out all he can, and we'll put him on the egg timer?
Okay.
Aaron, also, this is so ridiculous. He said that he has body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
But that he's totally comfortable doing porn. He's totally comfortable on this cam soda or whatever. And it's so weird because his body dysmorphia. Well, maybe you don't have body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Maybe you really don't. Because anybody who had real body dysmorphia would not be comfortable doing this. I'm totally stupid. Then there was a big to-do over Angelina Jolie shopping at Target with all six kids.
Oh, God.
Why
do all six need to be there?
No, I know exactly. Why would they all be there? Wouldn't she have a list of whatever they need? So instead of piling seven people into a store, you'd have maybe two?
Yeah, where's her brother to watch these kids?
Yeah, doesn't she want to get out of the house?
Is she still so in love with them?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He was a big problem in that marriage, by the way, because he lived with them. And she
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
She counted on him, and they were on the same page, apparently, and Brad was not on the same page.
No one needs to take all their kids to Target.
No.
Knock it off.
These aren't like two-year-olds either.
No, most of them are teenagers, aren't they?
Yeah. And then there was
one of them's a Hollywood producer.
Yeah,
that's right. Shiloh, right?
No, it's Maddox.
Pax?
Maddox.
Maddox, yeah. Pax, and Shiloh. It's sad that we know that many of their names. Zahara, I think, is one, isn't it?
The weird thing was they said that, you know, Angelina Jolie's a Target, like any other mom. And she has a Valentino purse and Valentino shoes and a bodyguard.
Just like us. Why don't you just send the bodyguard and the seven kids to Target and stay home?
And she and Brad are no longer in family therapy, as the court had suggested.
Jeez.
And they tried, apparently, but she refuses. He has won 50% custody.
That's awesome.
That is determined. That is done.
Good for him.
However, She, this has been going on for 3 years now. This is not, I mean, this is not like 6 months ago or a year ago. 3 years ago, this happened, this airplane flight where something went wrong. Brad had the audacity to get angry at one of her kids.
To yell at his own kid.
Yeah. And so she immediately, of course, had to get a divorce. And Brad, by the way, Brad seems awfully happy right now. Seems very... very happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, he's hitting on his exes during table reads and everything.
But she refuses, this is her bottom line, she refuses to discuss an agreement involving the kids staying in Los Angeles because she wants to relocate to the UK or somewhere else. Oh. And I guess the United States just isn't good enough for her. Oh. And Brad, of course, says, well, you know, my life is kind of here. I want the kids here. And that's not non-negotiable. Angelina Jolie.
Well, she probably never...
I'm still working. I'm still a draw. I still need to be in Hollywood.
She probably gets everything she wants.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she's not used to anybody fighting her for anything.
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
That's right.
Real quick, you see he's on 60 Minutes tonight. They just ran the promo.
Who?
Ed Ogeron, head coach LSU Tigers.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so pumped.
Talking about our COVID prevention system.
For every winning team, a key to success is learn the playbook. That's true in football, and it's also true as we take on the coronavirus.
People get the coronavirus when one man puts his penis in another man's fanny. And and I'm not against that at all. I'm just saying this is what happens. And we got these ribbons we've been distributing. And,
if you're going to kiss, wear a mask.
Ed doesn't quite understand it. He's close.
No.
The spread of coronavirus is a serious matter. But there's a game plan for keeping residents as safe as possible. Everyone has a role to play as we face this challenge together. Cover your cough with your elbow like this.
The only thing more serious is beating Bama. And you can't beat Bama if you're not playing. Sometimes when you get a virus, you got to spit on it and get out there.
I want to give him chloroseptic spray. Just...
Wash your hands thoroughly, a full 20 seconds. If you're sick, stay home. If you think you should be tested, phone your health provider first. Avoid close contact with anyone who's sick. Protect your at-risk family members, including the elderly.
Doesn't he sound sick?
Yeah, if God forbid, God forbid if he got COVID-19 because... He would be classified as a super spreader. The amount of spit that comes out of his mouth.
Well, I talk. Yeah. I'm not in one of these high-risk groups. I'm not an intravenous drug user. I'm not putting penis in another man's fanny. Hell, why is everybody worried about me?
What I need to do than a big loogie.
When someone starts bleeding, we remove them from the game so they don't spread coronavirus.
I don't have anything against this butt sex stuff, but I'm not participating in it, so I got nothing to worry about.
When rim jobbing someone, make sure you use the dental dam.
Lady Gaga revealed that she used to have suicidal thoughts every day.
Okay, great.
Just because you need to know.
Wow, what a survivor.
Kanye West has released his...
Every day?
I know. Yes. Yes, every day she has suicidal thoughts.
Every day?
Every day. Kanye West...
Even when she's staring at Bradley Cooper's eyes that day, she's thinking, I mean... There's no more romantic position in the world. You're thinking about offing yourself?
She's thinking, I would rather die than experience the tender lovemaking of Bradley Cooper.
You have thousands of fans cheering you on while you're on stage. You think about offing yourself. I don't understand it.
Kanye West revealed that he revealed his guidelines for what he thinks record deals should be. And it looks to me like he's not planning on the record companies making any money. All the money goes to the artist.
Well, he's mad because he got, you know, he claims that he couldn't get his masters, just like Taylor Swift, and now he's going to help Taylor.
Well, you know, then you shouldn't sign, when you're a nobody, you shouldn't sign the deal where you agree to receive monies and you are promoted, because he was not a guy who didn't have any bargaining power, especially the last time around.
Before he did an album, he had plenty of bargaining power. He's a huge producer. Is he still waiting for Jay-Z's call? Is that still... Are you still waiting for Jay-Z to help?
Probably so.
Did he get his apology from Drake yet?
I don't think so.
What? Dare they?
Here's exciting news. Culture, the daughter of Cardi B and Offset, is now on Instagram and has 534,000 followers.
Wait, she's not 13.
No, she's like 3, isn't she?
She can't be on.
Hey, that's bullshit. You're right.
I'm going to turn her in.
She was only on there for 15 hours, and she had 500,000 followers.
That just reminded me. I haven't watched it yet, but I came across on YouTube, Rick Beato goes through the top 20 streaming songs on Spotify. WTF. I have a feeling he's not going to be a fan.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Well, yeah, it'll be Gangnam Style and Bieber.
Well,
and
I think he means the top 20, like, streaming now.
Oh, okay.
Which would be a lot of, you know, Cardi B type songs, which he would just, it would just drive him nuts.
Yeah, I don't think Boston's going to be on there. So that'd be disappointing to him.
His new one is Why Boomers Hate Pop Music.
I don't think boomers hate pop music, do they? Oh, today's pop music.
I'm assuming
music.
It's today's. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, because we're old. And we like the music we grew up with.
He said it a lot faster than he did in his 27 minutes.
Okay, boomer.
Let's see. There's some more entertainment stuff, I think.
There's a lot of... You see Prince Harry learned how to fly helicopters so he can fly Meghan and Archie around?
Come on. I thought he learned how to do that. Wasn't he actually pretty decent in the military over there in Britain?
Oh, that's what they said.
They're also among stars that are appearing in ABC's Time 100 special.
They're in the Time 100 now? She couldn't make the Time 1 million before she sat in that abnormally pink wiener, but now she's in the Time 100.
Listen to some of the other celebrities making an appearance during the special. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, Trevor Noah, Sandra Oh, I kind of like, she's okay.
She's in the 100?
Camille Nanjiani and John Legend!
Oh, God. So Chrissy will come with him.
Yep.
Just to confuse people that she's in the 100.
I assume Alicia Keys will be there, too.
Well, we need her at this time.
Yeah, her heart is needed.
It's the Emmys!
It's tonight.
Yep, as soon as we get out of here.
It's the Grammys.
No. You know, Willie Nelson has a book coming out.
Oh, cool.
My sister Bobby, and the one story that came out is him leaving his second wife. Did you hear how he got busted?
No.
His second wife.
Was he robbing a bank dressed as Paul Hogan?
His second wife, Shirley, discovered his infidelity via the mail when they received a bill from a Houston hospital.
Hospital.
He says, I tried to play it off as no big deal, Nelson writes. I told her I had to go to the hospital for something minor. Shirley wasn't buying that for one simple reason. The bill said the charges were for the birth of a baby girl, Paul. Born to a Miss Connie Nelson. Oh. Naturally, Shirley was curious to know who Miss Connie Nelson was. I couldn't lie, Willie Nelson recalls. Was caught flat-footed. Had to get the words out of my own mouth. Connie's my girlfriend and Paula's our daughter.
Yeah, boy.
So he divorced her and married the other girl that year.
Her name was already Nelson. Did she change her name legally?
I think that's just the
name.
Like
Johnny Cochran's mistress.
That's right.
That was a great move, by the way.
What a reference! Yeah,
Willie Nelson. That story is very Johnny Cash esque. I saw that flick again last night. For some reason, it was on while I was playing with the dog and
Walk the
Joaquin
line.
Phoenix did a fantastic job in that.
That's a great movie. I love that movie. I love the Folsom scene.
Yes. Yeah.
Folsom Prison.
I like the Jack White scene where he plays Elvis. Oh, wait, that was in Walk Hard. Never mind.
How about his roommate, Waylon Jennings?
I know it. He's like, Waylon, this is what I don't understand about that movie, Walk the Line. This is after his wife leaves him for cheating on him and stuff like this. Spoiler alert, Johnny Cash. And Johnny wakes up and he's just like, oh, I'm all messed up and I'm in this apartment. And Waylon Jennings is just strumming the guitar and singing a song, a sad one, in the front porch. And he goes, Waylon, did Reese Witherspoon call me? And he goes, nope, you haven't been paying your bills. And then he goes to the bank, and they're like, sorry, Johnny, you're broke. And so he hits rock bottom, and he gets really shit-faced drunk. And what does he do? He passes out and wakes up and sees a mansion and says, I'm going to buy this mansion and turn my life around.
Wait, but he's broke.
It didn't make any sense. It's like, whatever.
Maybe you got a royalty check that day.
Nice continuity, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little continuity boo-boo. For sure. It's
still a great
movie. And did you know that T-1000 in Terminator was Johnny Cash's father in real life?
Wait.
Amazing.
What?
Amazing.
Wait, the father that that said he should have died instead of his brother?
Yeah, the actor.
Yeah, yeah.
The actor.
Oh, the actor.
No one has ever heard of
his actual father.
Was his name Patrick? There's a Patrick in that guy's name.
The T-1000, that's all we know. Yeah, that, and he showed up in the latest Perry Mason.
Did you see the article in the Free Press about the...
Robert Patrick.
I told you there's a Patrick in his name. about the 20 classic cars that are missing that nobody can find that are worth $150 million?
Wait, they can't find the actual that car?
That's kind of when I saw a story.
Maybe like, missing.
That's when I saw that headline. I'm like, what does that even mean? This dude found like 20 missing classic cars and valued them that they can never find, including the one
car.
Oh, you mean because nobody has one that's been kept up?
Well, one is this Aston Martin that was stolen from a like a staging garage, a hangar in an airport.
Oh, wow.
97, someone broke in and stole. The car was so heavy it had to be dragged from its axles and left tire marks. It's the only clue. And it's just disappeared. And they don't know where it is. And this was in...
what year is the Aston Martin? I mean,
64. It was in Goldfinger.
Oh.
It was in the movie.
Oh, that car was cool.
Then he writes about the Coupe de Ville that was on the Titanic. The one that Kate Winslet was nude in and banged. Hot. Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, the car that was in the movie?
Cameron put it in the movie because that car was actually on the ship. And the ship sank. And that car was worth, like in today's numbers, $600,000.
What?
And no one's ever recovered it from the bottom of the ocean. It had a top speed of 35 miles an hour.
I disagree that it's worth $600,000. It sounds like a piece of shit.
Then he had a car that was some Oldsmobile rocket car. It was a concept car, and it was supposed to be destroyed, but they feel that there's no record of it being taken to the scrapyard, so they think it got taken to the scrapyard, and someone's like, that concept car's worth a lot of money. I'm keeping that. Then Jim Morrison's Blue Lady. Have you ever heard of that?
Wait, what kind of car is it?
67 Shelby GT500. Dark
Wait,
blue.
Wait, is that a Mustang? Shelby?
It must be, right?
I think so.
Had a V8. He called it the Blue Lady. In April 67, he was driving down Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, crashed it into a pole. He got out of the car, just walked to Whiskey A Go-Go, and the car disappeared.
Maybe it was like Tyson. He figured, this car's wrecked. I don't want it anymore.
They figured he was messed up, and that's why he left it. But there's no record of it being
towed. It's a great version of the song, by the way.
Yeah, it's not distracting at all. There were a couple other ones, too. The last one.
Is this Ron Miscavige's version?
I hope he's not listening. But the last one was there was a Ferrari, a 74 Ferrari, that some kids found in the front yard of their house while they were digging in the dirt.
What?
They hit a piece of metal, and they're like, what is this? And they kept digging. The Ferrari was buried in their front yard.
Why?
Because the guy who owned it wanted to collect insurance on it. So I think he hired the mob or some criminals to take it apart, scrap it, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And then he could declare it, you know, stolen.
Oh, cool.
And he would collect the money on it. But what happened was these thieves decided they wanted to keep the car because they liked it and it was worth a lot of money. So they buried it in this front yard, and nobody ever dug it up until these kids found it. They just either forgot about it or never had the opportunity to dig it up. It's a really crazy story. It's really good. It was in the Free Press.
Ron's starting to get the hang of the song now, I think. He was trying to play it by ear.
Here comes the big part, real big part.
He needs some audits.
I love it. I saw it probably, a dozen times in the movie theater back in the 90s.
What, Titanic?
Fantastic flick, yes. Maybe we'll give the people a good...
What? You like Titanic, too?
No, listen. So you got to hear this. You got to hear me out here.
Keep a list, somebody.
In my backyard was a movie theater. Cinema 3, baby. I'm talking some of the greatest arcade games you ever did see. And the thing to do on Friday nights was to either hit the roller rink up or hit up Cinema 3. And since the roller rink was actually, you know, a little long of a walk, I would go to the cinema. It was just right in my backyard. Hit on chicks, play some video games and stuff like that. And
didn't you have to pay for the movie?
Pardon me?
Didn't you have to pay for the movie?
I snuck in a lot of movies.
Is this your babysitter, the Cinema 6?
No.
Did Al teach you how to sneak in?
No. Some of the local...
Did he sneak in and hit on your friends?
Troublemaker. Al never hit on any of my friends, no.
You're right.
What? I spent some of the...
Random Al hate come from?
No, some of the more mature females that, you know, looked a lot older. You might not know any better or care.
No, no. But for, you know, sometimes you would go to Cinema 3 Theater and the movies just didn't change.
Whoa, I didn't ask for your life story.
It's the same three movies. And so you'd have to see the movie over and over and over. And probably the two that I saw the most were Liar, Liar, probably like six.
Well, I wouldn't change the movie either if people would pay 50 times to see the same movie.
Yeah. We'll give the we'll give the listeners some of the Titanic Cliff Notes version at the end of the show.
I mean, do you really like Titanic that much, the movie?
I thought that it was a cinematic masterpiece when it came out.
It was a good movie. I just have no desire to ever watch it again.
And I was really fascinated with the Titanic just prior to that movie coming out because it was one of like my, you know, things we had to, I think, what's his butt? Was that Ron Cameron or whatever? He was going in the submarines and checking out the bottom of the ocean and
James Cameron, yeah.
And that was right before Ron Cameron. Was when I was in like
Cameron, the old,
Bob Page's friend, Ron Cameron?
Yeah.
Oh, what did I call him?
Ron Cameron.
Who's it supposed to be?
James Cameron.
James Cameron. Yeah, same guys are related.
I love those little bubbles when they go down to the bottom of the ocean. And those little things that buzz around. That's so cool.
Would you do that? Would you ever want to go down?
No, because I would figure some rock would come and bust it.
Bust the window, yeah. It'd be a hell of a way to go, though.
Oh, man, that'd be terrible. So, let's see. There was one, a couple other sports things I wanted to mention. I just didn't want to pile all the sports stuff together. Did you hear that baseball is moving to the bubble for postseason?
Yeah, why?
I didn't know that.
I don't get that.
I don't know. I have no idea. Why are they doing it?
They've done pretty well after their rocky start.
Where's their bubble going to be?
Is this just to avoid really bad cold weather games?
Oh, well, that would be fine.
I don't think you'll know where the bubble is until, I mean, aren't they going to assign it to maybe like the teams who did the best?
Is it going to have movable walls?
I have no, I don't know what the hell is going on with this. I really don't. I should have read more.
Shouldn't they have movable walls?
So it's a 16-team 2020 MLB playoff.
Yeah.
And it's starting September 29th, which is coming up quick.
What, are they all going to play in the same park? Like they're all sitting in the stands waiting for their game? Waiting for the previous game to end like in Little League?
That's a good question. I don't understand.
What a concept. We're like the Final Four, but there's like eight games in a row.
It looks like they're going to be at Globe Life Field in Arlington, which is a home run hitter's park.
Well, that's why they should move the walls.
What do you mean, move the walls? Move them in?
Well, yeah, to match whoever has home field advantage.
Well, they just make the whole, every game based on home run derby. Not even have a pitcher.
People would love that.
So it's a lot of homers.
They're all being played there. They're not being played, like...
I'm not sure if that's the World Series itself or if that's the entire bubble. This whole thing is confusing to me, and Aaron Judge
so rinky-dink.
Here it is.
Hang on. Best of five ALDS is in San Diego and Los Angeles. The NLDS is in Houston and Arlington. That's pretty
stupid. All the teams in the American League?
Well, no, they're in two different ones, the division series.
Okay. Did you hear Deion Sanders got a head coaching job at Jackson State?
Why? Why did he?
I don't know.
Is he bored?
I heard his recruiting pitches. Come on, 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 come on.
How could you say no to that guy? Oh, speaking of recruiting, remember the documentary I told you about, Outcry, on Showtime, about the player who they arrested him and he was convicted of molesting the two kids at the home daycare? We talked, it wasn't that long ago, like a month ago we talked about it.
Okay.
Really good documentary you should watch. He is now, because he got exonerated, it was a terrible miscarriage of justice. They just did a really bad job with the investigation, and it was overturned. He never molested these kids. Anyways, he's going to Eastern Michigan now. He's 25. He'll be a freshman.
How good a player is he?
I guess he was good in high school. They made it out probably to be better than he really was, because it kind of fits the narrative of the story. I think he's 25. And he's gonna go to Eastern. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
Nice little story.
But he can't be that good if he's going to Eastern.
Is he gonna be a 29-year-old senior?
He was
a 30-year-old redshirt.
He'll be a 25-year-old freshman. Yeah, and he was originally, I want to say, it was UTSA, San Antonio. That, so it's not like he was recruited to, you know, a Power Five conference. So it's pretty much on par to where he was.
Okay.
Kind of
no, I mean, Eastern. Eastern can use the. If the guy's really good, that'll be great for Eastern.
He spent like 4 years in prison too.
Yeah, I know. I remember that. That was a fucked up story.
He must be jacked up then.
Yeah.
Did you hear there's another Maria Taylor controversy?
What now?
Okay. If you remember, Dan McNeil from The Score in Chicago had said, you know, about her outfit that she was wearing on the sideline. Was that Monday Night Football?
Yeah. Yep.
Said that, is she doing a football game or is she at the AVN Awards? And she suggested that I'll be doing the NBA event. Why don't you bring your misogyny there? And he was fired.
Yeah.
Blown out. So now, I can't even believe this. She was given a vote for the NBA All Pro team. Mm-hmm. And she forgot to put Anthony Davis on the All NBA team.
What?
Yes. She forgot.
Anthony Davis could have been MVP if it wasn't for Giannis.
Not just the first team. Not just the second team. Not just the third team.
Oh. She just forgot about him.
All right. How many other... Did anybody else do that? Or is she the only
one?
No.
Well, there were a couple people... There were a couple weird moves. I don't know if there was one as egregious as that.
Well, no. There's always some that people say, oh, how could you put him on the first team? But no, nobody's forgotten somebody who's a first team guy before.
That's pretty bad.
So, Doug Gottlieb... Okay. Now, she's had this job. She's in her first year. Her first year, she's made a studio host and... She's on the sideline.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are like, oh, boy, that's a pretty big leap. Well, Doug Gottlieb questioned, why does she have a vote in the first place? She's a one-year studio host and sideline reporter. That's ridiculous because...
How many people vote for this?
I don't know, but I remember when...
Is it like 3,000 or is it like 30?
Right.
Oh, it's not that many. No, it's not that many.
Yeah.
So she then responded like, you know, fuck you, Doug Gottlieb, because I played basketball, I covered the league, and I deserve everything I've worked for. Okay. And I guess being super hot has nothing to do with it. That if she was, you know, 50 pounds overweight and she wasn't pretty, that they would have her on the sideline in the studio. Sure they would.
Well, if she knows the sport so well, how do you keep the brow off all the lists?
No, not LeBron. Anthony Davis.
The brow, yeah.
Oh, Anthony the brow. Davis. Oh.
Yeah.
The brow.
No one will, I mean, it's like Doug Gottlieb's the one who's the asshole. In fact, he was called sexist by multiple other female writers for saying this.
Okay.
Which, it's not sexist. He's holding her to the standard that all the other writers are held to.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was reading about this online, and nobody was saying anything to defend Doug Gottlieb, except for Jason Whitlock.
Oh, he's canceled.
Who dared to say that... Maria Taylor got jobs that no guy could get because she's attractive. She has hot privilege, which I thought was like, wait, hot privilege? I think he said beauty privilege. It's like, wow, that term's really getting around now. And he felt that she doesn't deserve a vote because the only reason she got it was because she has female privilege and beauty privilege. And he said that essentially, any criticism of Maria Taylor or a lot of these female writers becomes systematic misogyny. And all these women calling Doug Gottlieb sexist are dead wrong. That he's essentially trying to hold her to a standard that all the male writers or the people who have earned a vote are held to. And that people have bitched about people's votes many, many, many times in the past when they either overlooked someone or they, you know, put someone as first team that maybe didn't belong. And so anyway, he was comparing her to Michelle Beadle and Jemele Hill, saying that she sounds like she basically hates anyone who dares to question or criticize her. And
I think that response is pretty lame. Her response.
It's incredibly lame. It's ridiculous. How could she not realize what a huge leap she took?
How could she leave?
And it is because she's hot. It's because she's hot. She may have the qualifications to get a job, but to get that job, probably not. In fact, no, she wouldn't. But anyway, so I guess she's going to spend her career trying to get people fired, anyone who dares to question her. And well, it was funny how...
Nice putting out a bad ballot, too.
I know. Well, that's the worst part. I would never draw attention to what she did.
Yeah.
She sounds like a moron. She sounds like she spent no time on her, doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
Good for her.
There's an HBO trailer out for the Craig Carton doc He's the the fan host who's on the morning show with Boomer, and he started selling fake tickets to events because he was he a gambling addict?
Yep.
Is that what he was?
Yep.
Yeah, he went to prison. I think he's out now. But anyway, they're doing it's called The Downfall of a Radio Loudmouth.
Huh. When's that out? Do we know?
I don't know, but they said the trailer's out.
Brandon's you want to play it? Here, yeah. Oh, I love it with radio docs. They always have to do the tune-in as if anybody does that anymore.
I was the morning man in the city I grew up in.
It's Boomer Esiason and Greg Carton on The Fan.
It was the number one morning show in New York and in America.
If you want to go into it, let's go into it. But not today because I got other people who want to talk and you're boring me. Goodbye.
Craig comes from a line of shock jocks talking about the games and who to bet.
What am I, 5 years old? How do you make picks not with a spread?
He was the crazy, zany radio guy. And then you had the common sense athlete. He was the fire starter, and I had a playoff of him.
You have 500 other choices on the radio. Guess what? You listen to me.
The listeners didn't want to miss what I was going to say next. If you gave me 10 grand, I'd guarantee you 25,000. I won $80,000.
As it's turned out, that was the worst thing that's ever happened.
I'm now the blackjack whisperer. So I started to get approached by the people who wanted to know if I wanted to be in business with them.
I love it.
I had no idea how much he was gambling.
I borrowed over $30 million to gamble with. I
had no idea that anybody was contacting him.
I thought I was the best, and I didn't think any casino could beat me. I won $325,000 in like 9 minutes and walked out the door to go to work. He would hand me a knapsack.
Don't think that happen very often.
And inside was $1 million.
He was out of control.
Falling apart.
If you lose their money,
this isn't good.
Only ends one way. I took $950,000 for gambling.
Can't take money for one purpose and use it for another.
That is fraud.
We had the world by the balls. He ruined what we all had.
Craig Carton has been suspended.
Boom.
This afternoon, a jury convicted Craig Carton.
That's heavy.
Ooh.
Heavy.
Whoa. Okay.
That was an okay show. I remember seeing it a few times.
Boomer and Carton?
Yeah, I can't remember who simulcasted it on TV.
Oh, simulcast here?
No, on television.
Okay, Boomer.
Because after our show was done, I used to watch like Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
Because we had that TiVo, so I'd record all those and watch them. They were good.
Well, why don't you get a room with them?
Wow.
I know, right?
You should get a room with a felon.
I will, man. He sounds like he can take my 10 grand and turn into 3 million.
Yeah.
We'll get
absolute
a room with him.
Idiotic. He didn't think there was a casino that could beat him.
Do you think there's some exaggeration in his story there? How much did he say he borrowed?
$30 million.
Yeah.
All right. Well, get us out of here, and we'll be back tomorrow with Ron Miscavige.
You didn't mention Verlander, by the way, today.
Oh, yeah. He's out. Oh, he's out for this year and next year. With Tommy John surgery.
Sounds like he's done in Houston.
Yeah. So maybe the Tigers can sign him because they're going to be a contender the year after next. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know about that. We'll see. There's some interesting things going on in the Tigers, more than I thought there would be. I don't really have the highest expectations, but there's more happening. I'm mildly impressed.
Maybe they can get this youngster from Virginia. Check out that dude.
Phil Lauer throws no-hitters, secure Tennessee prospects 14-U win over Kingsport Tribe Baseball. Daniel Phil Lauer, brilliant on the mound Sunday, threw a no-hitter to lead Tennessee prospects past Kingsport 13-0.
Wait to hear this stat line.
He got the start for Tennessee prospects, earned 0 runs and 0 hits over 4 innings, striking out 12. Wait, only pitched 4 innings.
I know, a 4-inning no-hitter because...
Not a no-hitter.
So if you look at the box score, apparently there's a mercy rule because there's just X's.
Four-inning no-hitter is not a no-hitter. It's not even an official game. This doesn't count in stats.
It's an official game. What are you talking about?
It's not official. You've got to play five and a half innings to be official.
It's not his fault there's a mercy rule, but 12 strikeouts over 4 innings.
That's a lot to lose on your stats because it's not an official game. I'm so sorry to hear that. But he got a lot of attention for it.
He would be so mad at you if he heard that.
How old is Daniel?
That's a great question. I think
it says 14 and under, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is he 14?
I want to see. He's 13. What year are we in? Yeah, he's either 13 or he turned 14.
Is he blowing smoke?
He must. He's got some pitches, man. He's a lefty, too. So
we'll keep an eye on this prospect. All right. We'll see you tomorrow with Ronald Miscavige. Ryan Miscavige.
That man.
Oh my God, I'm so depressed. I hate my rich loser fiance and this Titanic trip sucks. I'm going to jump.
Hey, tell me!
What?
What the hell are you doing?
I'm gonna, like, jump.
You can't do that. You'll, displace half the water in the ocean. And you'll hit bottom so hard you'll break every big bone in your body. And you'll never eat again.
You're right.
Rose, what's going on?
This exciting, low-life, third-class man just saved my life.
Is that true?
Yes, my name is Jack. Who are you? And what's the deal with your eyeliner?
I don't know, but I'm Cal, her filthy, rich, boring fiancé.
One day later, at the bow of the Titanic...
Rose, close your eyes and lift your arms.
Jack, I don't know if I can raise them. They're so heavy.
Ah, you can do it, Rose. Now let me... Lift you up. Quick, open your eyes. You're flying. Hurry, fly.
Jack, I'm flying.
Okay, Rose, the boat's listing.
I'm flying, Jack.
You're coming down, Rose. No more.
That was fun, Jack. You're such a free, easy, and fun loser. I almost feel like letting you pile drive me, even though I'm a rich bitch.
Maybe later.
Later that day.
Rose, I was going to wait, but you're so depressed. Here's a priceless jewel I plan to give you when we're married.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful, but I'm not going to put out. I'm a very independent and unpredictable woman, even though I'm fictional.
Rose, you must act like a woman of your breeding.
Afraid not.
Afraid so.
Afraid not.
Afraid so.
Afraid not. I'm out of here.
20 minutes later...
Jack!
Rose!
What's that, Jack?
It's my sketchbook, Rose.
What does a poor loser like you sketch, Jack?
Nude bitches, Rose.
Oh, my God. I'm shocked. But at the same time, I feel like putting out, Jack.
Look at this one-legged skanky hooker, Rose.
Wow, Jack.
Want to get plastered with some third-class lowlifes, Rose?
Totally, Jack.
Party, Rose!
Party, Jack. Jack, will you sketch me nude?
I don't know if I have enough pencils or paper, Rose. But take that muumuu off and let's see what happens.
1 hour later, in a 1912 Renault...
Right there, you stuck-up bitch.
Oh, give it to me, third-class white trash. Oh, yeah.
Take some third-class hokey, Rose.
Hours later, back at Cal and Rose's first-class cabin...
Where the hell is Rose?
I don't know, but look at this sketch someone left behind. What is it?
It's something huge, with a head on it.
Oh, gross, it's Rose.
Oh, that slut. We must get rid of this Jack.
Let's plant the priceless jewel on him.
And declare him a thief. Rose, where have you been?
I was checking out the third class housing. Yeah, that's it.
The jewels are missing.
Oh, my God.
Search Jack.
I don't have them, I swear.
Here they are, in Jack's pocket.
Cuff him immediately and take him down below while the Titanic sinks.
It hasn't hit the iceberg yet.
Whatever. And you, Rose... You slut.
Fag.
Slut.
Fag.
Slut.
Meanwhile, in the captain's quarters...
Captain, break this bitch up. I want to arrive by Tuesday. I want headlines.
Okay, boss. It's kind of dangerous, but whatever. Full speed ahead.
Hey, captain. There's something in our path. Better slow down or turn or something.
I can't slow her down. We'll try to turn. How close is it?
It's right... There!
We're fine.
Back with Jack and Rose.
Jack, where are you?
Down here, Rose.
Where, Jack?
Here, Rose.
Jack, the water. It's up to your knee, and you're cuffed, and I have no way to free you.
Rose.
Yes, Jack.
Lumber off to find an axe. Come back when the water is higher and free me.
Okay, Jack.
5 minutes later.
Jack, hold still. I have an axe.
Go for it. Rose, we're free. Let's go up and watch everyone panic.
10 minutes later.
Rose, did you see that guy jump and hit the propeller?
What about that guy sliding down the deck, Jack? He nailed the wall.
Listen, Rose, there's only one hope to keep this sucker afloat.
What's that, Jack?
We need to roll your lard ass off, okay, Rose?
Okay, Jack, here I go.
Here I go! Oh! Rose!
Jack!
Lie on this wood raft I conveniently found.
If I lie on it, there's no room for you, Jack.
That's okay. You were just an H&D to me anyway.
Jack, what's an H&D?
Nothing, Rose. Just hang. Don't give up. Oh, that crap. I love you, Rose.
Jack. Oh, my God. Jack's dead. I don't want to live. Oh, no.
Hey, rescue boat here. Hey, is anybody out there? Anybody not frozen yet? Hello?
I don't want to live without Jack.
Last call.
Last call? Oh, wow. I'm hungry. Yeah, over here. Hey, save my heartbroken ass. I'm starving.
Here we come now, Chubby.